All right, welcome to the War Room. I am Chase Geyser, temporarily hosting because Owen Schroyer got a wild hair and decided to go to the University of Texas campus here in Austin, Texas, to capture some of the details of the protests that have been happening today, I believe relating to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Owen, can you hear me, sir? Are you there?
Yes, Chase. We've got you loud and clear. We are at the heart of University of Texas Austin campus right now, where there was a large melee, you might call it, about an hour or so ago between anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian protesters and what was either the Department of Public Safety, campus police, maybe some state troopers. And so we saw that happening, and so we decided we wanted to come down here. It looks like the response was strong enough to disperse many of the protesters. But as you're going to see here, as we approach, again, we're at the center of UT's campus. As you're going to see here, as we approach, there's still hundreds, if not maybe 1,000 or more demonstrators still out here. Hey, watch your step here, Reese. Watch your step here. But they had state troopers out here on horseback, and now they kind of have the protesters boxed in to a walkway above this fountain in the middle of UT's campus. Now, we don't want to go into the middle of this for obvious reasons, but we want to try to give you guys an idea of what's going on here. So it appears there's still probably at least 1,000 or so protesters out here, and this is happening across the nation right now, these demonstrations. Let's see if we can't hear what these guys are chanting. They're chanting, "Shame on you." And maybe we can try to get a look inside here if we go up on the side.
Now, yeah, we'll are these protesters the primarily here. Pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel, or is there both? Can you tell us a little bit about the content of the crowd there?
No, yeah.
Well, it's hard to tell, really, right now. There's nothing that's too obvious, let's say. But the cops pretty much have this situation under control. My cameraman is going to go in right now, and maybe you can get a better idea. But I've seen Israeli flags. I've seen some Palestinian flags. So it looks like there's kind of protests on both sides of the issue out here today and some chanting going on lined up against the police.
Wow. And is there any context around what happened earlier in the day that catalyzed this fast police response? Was there some sort of a physical conflict between law enforcement and one of the protesters?
You know, it's hard to say for sure what initiated the response from law enforcement, but obviously there were just thousands of the protesters out here in this area on campus, and the police response was pretty swift and heavy-handed, and so they dispersed a lot of them, and now they're just remaining in this area. There doesn't seem to be any tempers flaring at this point. There are people being arrested. We have seen a lot of people being arrested. So I'm not sure exactly what they're being arrested for, but we'll go in. We'll try to get a look at the other side of this, because again, there's people on both sides of this issue out here. There's the anti-Israel protests, and then there's people waving the Israeli flag as well. But I guess whoever was in the middle of this police circle are the ones that were the ones that got arrested. So I don't know if they were doing. Okay, now we're at a standoff here.
Wow.
And they're chanting, "You don't scare us," to the police.
Again, Owen, what is it that they're shouting?
They're chanting, "You don't scare us," at the police.
"You don't scare us," at the police. We got about 20 seconds left before we go to a quick break, just to give you some context, Owen.
This could very easily turn into another anti-police protest, so we'll keep our eye on that as we continue to report from the scene.
Okay, well, stick with us, folks. We have a one-minute break, and we'll be back with Owen Schroyer on the ground at UT in Austin, Texas, on the other side in 60 seconds. This is Chase Geyser hosting the War Room while Owen Schroyer Skypes in from the scene of a campus protest here in Austin, Texas at UT Austin, very close to the Capitol here in the capital of Texas. Owen, back to you, sir. Any new developments since we've been speaking last?
So we're starting to get a better idea, I think, of what led to the strong law enforcement presence and response here. It appears that some of the anti-Israel protesters started to engage with the police. We've heard reports of frozen water bottles being thrown at the police. So I think that that's what really initiated the first response here. At this point, what was the center of the protest is now surrounded by police. They've cleared out the protesters. They've arrested dozens of them. And what remains are just people on the outskirts here, locking arms and chanting against the police. So it's really just turned into an anti-police protest, I think, more than anything at this point, which is kind of just where gravity falls on all of these issues,
yeah,
ultimately with the left. And so, and now they're calling you fascist and everything else. So it's kind of just devolved into an anti-police event now. But obviously, the starter here was the Israel-Palestine conflict that now, unfortunately, engrosses college campuses all around the nation. We're seeing this from sea to shining sea, as they say, Chase. We have these protests happening on United States universities.
So I'm noticing that in the center area that you mentioned, which is now surrounded by law enforcement, there's a lot of belongings sort of strewn about. Do you have any context as to what happened there? Were people just ripped away so quickly they weren't able to grab their things?
Yeah, so it appears that that was the situation. Perhaps there were people camped out here. It looks like the same tents, which, by the way, they're all the same tents. Have you noticed that? That's how you know these things are well-organized and well-funded, because they all have the same tents. Columbia University, New York University, USC, right here at University of Texas Austin, they all have the exact same brand new tents. So there's your sign right there that this is organized and funded. And we know some of the groups behind this, as usual, Democrat dark money, Soros money. But yeah, my guess is they were encamped right here. The police came in, they started to engage with the police. That's what led to the enforcement and ultimately the arrest of dozens of demonstrators out here today.
Now, were these protests something that began earlier in the week, or is this something that started today and then escalated? Because obviously tents imply that people are staying out all night and doing the 24/7 approach. Oh, wow. It looks like more law enforcement has come in. It looks like almost anti-riot.
Yeah, state troopers are now moving into the scene here right now, definitely in the anti-riot gear. Now, this is probably just more of a deterrence factor than anything else. I don't think at this point they are going to have to engage against the demonstrators, but certainly it'll be viewed as a deterrence as the demonstrators continue to be out here, probably in the thousands, I would say the number. Now, to get back to your question, what we've seen develop, which really I think started on the East Coast in New York, Columbia University, New York University. We saw it on the streets of San Francisco, in California, Detroit, Chicago. I guess in response to maybe the new bill that Congress has tried to pass with tens of billions of dollars for Israel, I guess that has kind of re-inflamed the protest, reignited the cause, because really we've seen this back and forth since October 7th. The centuries-old holy war that has now encompassed the United States of America. So I think that this was more of a build off of this latest round. I haven't seen or heard about any activity like this in Austin or at the University of Texas until today. Based on the fact that it looked like there were some tents and stuff set up, they may have started to build this last night and then got shut down today. But I would say overall, this is a newer trend here for Austin. This is a newer trend here for University of Texas in response to what we've seen across the nation at other universities.
Now, obviously, we see many, many students and members of the public around this protest. Can you give us a sense, just a ballpark sense, of what percentage of the students there are protesting versus students who are just onlooking?
Yeah, that's a good question. Most people here are probably just onlookers, but don't let that take away from the fact that there are thousands of people. Hi, good. Yes. InfoWars, Owen Sawyer. Oh, really? Here, we got a professor at UT. Can you guys hear him right now?
Lean into him a little bit. Act like your best buds. Lean into him a little bit, Owen. I'm going to hear him better.
Here, let me try this.
Are you a journalist or an activist?
Yes, I'm a journalist.
What's your platform?
InfoWars.
InfoWars.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go on InfoWars.
Well, you already are.
Okay. Well, too bad. I don't like how you guys have lied about the children of Sandy Hook, for which you've been readily...
So do you like censorship? Do you think InfoWars should be censored?
No, I think you should platform lies that incite violence.
Well, I'm out here covering an event as a journalist, and you're welcome to talk, but you choose not to. Well, yeah, because a bunch of people threaten us. We receive death threats regularly because journalism is under attack in this country. I've been in prison for my journalism. Are you aware of that? Trespassing. Yeah, and I was covering an event, and they hit me with trespassing. So I've been in jail for my reporting. I'm like a free speech martyr. I'm a journalist that's gone to jail.
So, at this event, are you here to cover this? I'm concerned about the police attacking the streets.
I'm here reporting neutrally. I'm here reporting on what I see.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, in that sense, I wish you well.
Well, thank you. I think, you know, I understand why people view InfoWars negatively. I'm not saying we're above mistakes, but most of the things you read or hear about us are not true. We're really honest journalists, and I appreciate you talking with me today. Thank you. All right, wow. I don't know if you're able to catch that. It looks like we have some others being arrested here. And so I'm guessing that they were just kind of pushing back against the police as they were moving kind of south with their security presence here. And so they were moving some of the protesters south, and I guess maybe some of them weren't cooperating, and that's why we've seen these recent arrests. But it looks like they're just enhancing their perimeter here, moving it south, is what it would appear to me.
Now, traditionally speaking, Owen, we know that certainly during the Black Lives Matter protests, things escalated and got more and more unruly as the sun would go down, right? So there would be peaceful protests during the day, and then at night we would see escalation. Do you anticipate the energy building up?
You don't know, so this is basically new, is what you're saying? We're speaking to a student right now. He doesn't want to be on camera. I'm just trying to understand. But as far as you know, you didn't hear anything about this until today?
Okay.
Yeah, so I would say it's likely that this is a last 24-hour development. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you were saying.
No, you're doing great. My question is, do you anticipate this getting more contentious as the day goes on? With Black Lives Matter at night, that's when things got really rowdy. Do you anticipate that happening at this particular event?
I would say yes. I think that this will turn into more of an anti-police thing. And, you know, that's an issue. I think that's an issue for most students now, that they're more aggravated over than even the Israel-Palestine thing. That's kind of your protest flavor of the month. Most people probably didn't know too much about this situation a few months ago. But the police situation has been building. So my guess is... the police presence and response will just kind of turn this into an anti-police status thing. And if it gets to that point, yes, I could see things escalating, certainly.
Now, traditionally speaking, the anti-police sentiments have followed immediately after a very controversial police action, right? George Floyd is an example of a specific event that took place that resulted in this movement for defund the police and others. Obviously, anti-police sentiment is something that's existed and ebbed and flowed for decades in this country, Rodney King and other examples as well. But in this specific incident, when we're talking about Palestine versus Israel, that issue doesn't have much to do with law enforcement. So why is it that in this particular circumstance, we've seen a pivot in this protest where people are yelling at the police saying they're not afraid of them instead of yelling on behalf of either Israel or Palestine?
I think the view of some of these students is that some of the demonstrators out here today have been wrongfully arrested. And so I think that that's where it comes into play. They view this as a peaceful demonstration and First Amendment protected activity. And when they see dozens of their students get arrested, I think that that's when it becomes the issue with police. I don't know if there's necessarily been a singular isolated moment. I think it's the protesters getting arrested, getting handcuffed, getting put in a paddy wagon and taken to jail. I think that that's kind of where the rub is here and why they're now kind of pivoting this towards an anti-police issue.
Now, are you aware, based on your conversations with anybody around, whether or not classes were canceled on campus today, or is the university still operating?
I have not heard that. Are classes canceled today, or are they still on? No, we've had no cancellation of classes. I mean, this is a very large university. All things considered, this is probably a small portion of the student body that's out here or watching this. When we were coming up, there was still regular movement going building to building, class to class. At this point, I don't see this getting too much larger, and it would be an issue that they would have to cancel class over. So it seems that university activities are still going on as usual, I would say.
Wow. Well, anything else on the ground happening that you can tell us about or describe for us, just for the sake of the audience here who's tuning in?
Yeah, I mean, I would say going back to what we were just talking about, it's hard to really identify, if we're dividing this on Israel-Palestine, it's hard to really identify most of the people on either side of the issue.
Sure.
And it's kind of just become a swearing off of protesters against the police. So again, it kind of gravitates towards that whenever there's a police presence on a college campus. And so that, I think, is where this could end up going, and where most of the students might not really have an issue with Israel or Palestine or be invested in that. They do have an issue with police, and so they're not going to like this presence here. I think that's where this probably goes now.
Now, based on the context of what we spoke about on the Alex Jones show earlier today, some of the reports at Columbia University and other universities, it seems like the trend is these protests being pro-Palestine, anti-Israel, anti-genocide in the Gaza Strip specifically. And based on some of the visuals that I've gotten here just watching you on this Skype feed, it seems like some of the attire is more associated with protesters who would be pro-Palestine rather than pro-Israel. Does that line up with what your general feel is there?
That seems like only maybe. Because I'm getting shouted out.
Okay.
I'm getting shouted at by these pro-Palestinian people when I've actually on this issue been kind of more anti-Israel. So it's kind of ironic. But that's neither here nor there. To respond to your question, there were definitely pockets of Israel's people. Maybe they were Jewish students. They were waving an Israeli flag. But definitely the majority, I would say 10 to 1, 15 to 1 is out here probably anti-Israel.
Okay, so that's 10 to 15 to 1, you're saying anti-Israel at this protest.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I'm just looking around. Maybe even 20 to 1 is probably a more accurate.
Have you seen a single pro-Israel protester?
Yes, definitely. Like I said, there were a couple pockets. There were a couple Israeli flags that I saw. But overall, this is mostly either anti-Israel or now just anti-police in general.
Now, do you think Ben Shapiro is going to be speaking on campus anytime soon?
I don't think Ben Shapiro is here. I've not heard about that. That would probably make this a riot.
Ooh.
What do we lie about, sir? That's probably a professor. That's probably an indoctrinator of the students here. So that's what they have to deal with. So that doesn't really help the students when they have professors like that are really just deranged themselves.
Wow. Absolutely out of this world. Now, how many members of law enforcement do you see there? It seems like there's quite a few officers or state guards in riot gear just behind you. Is it hundreds?
Yeah, definitely hundreds. We're probably even sending more in, but they're all concentrated in this area. And so that's what ends up happening. Wherever the police presence ends up being is where the concentration of demonstrators end up going. And it just turns off into a standoff between police and demonstrators. So it's not like there's even any groups out here agitating the crowd for Israel. It's now just the police, I think, that are agitating them.
So based on your experience, would you say there's more law enforcement present and organized here than January 6th?
I'm having trouble hearing you right now, but, you know, I think I understood the question. What I find surprising, I'm having trouble hearing you. What I find surprising is that there has been a much more heavy-handed response to these demonstrations than what we saw in 2020 when cities were being burned to the ground. You had Black Lives Matter rallies and riots happening for months, and cities were burned to the ground, stores were looted, and the cops pretty much just let them go.
Right.
Would you like to talk?
Well, then what did you say?
Well, people keep saying stuff to me, and then they don't want to be on camera. They have the same insults. They can't develop a conversation. What are you doing out here?
Okay, I'm not doing it. I'm just taking photos.
Well, you were just shouting my name and taking photos to me, so. Okay. All right. So it's just hilarious, man. People, it just shows how strong the brainwashing is, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So whether it's what they believe about InfoWars or what they believe about Israel or what they believe about racism or what they believe. This guy keeps yelling at me, too. Are you a professor?
Yeah.
I knew he was. You are a professor.
Sociology.
Yeah. I would avoid a college. I wouldn't send your kids to college. So.
Right. It's like the famous physics test with the double slit test, where as soon as you look at the electron, it behaves differently. So they'll yell at you, but then as soon as you look at them or put a camera on them, then they just walk away.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm probably the most fair and neutral journalist that's out here in the media, and these people want to insult me when I'd actually give them a fair platform, and then they just yell at me because of some lie they've heard about in the mainstream media.
Right.
So again, it just goes to show, people everywhere draw opinions and perspectives on things that aren't even their own. They're somebody else's, and it gets injected into their minds, and then it's like the first impression bias. You know what I'm saying?
So let me ask you this. Obviously, the illegal migration has been a major issue. We know over 10 million people have come into the United States illegally since the onset of the Biden regime. Do you get the sense that all of the protesters present today are students and faculty, or do you get the impression, intuitively at least, that some of these protesters may have actually come from overseas?
Now, I would say this is probably mostly, if not all, students. I
okay.
mean, there's some faculty that are roaming around, too. But this is mostly, if not entirely, all students, I would say.
Wow. Wow. And what are they shouting right now? It's a little muffled
curious,
in the background, Owen.
How do you guys feel about $100 billion for foreign countries? Do you have any comments on that?
Sorry.
How do you feel about $100 billion for Ukraine and Israel and foreign countries? What, it's obscene. Yeah. What do you think about that?
No.
You don't like it either?
No.
Would you like to see America be invested in? Would you like to see America get $100 billion maybe, fix our infrastructure? You think that'd be a good thing?
They should focus the money on improving the country here.
Do you think most people would agree with that opinion here?
Most people here, yeah.
Yeah? So I think that's the real opinion here. Thank you, guys. At the end of the day, this is the conversation that needs to be had. By the way, Palestine gets $8 billion in this latest bill, too. So
right.
Israel
so
gets $20 billion, I think
war.
It was. Exactly. So the blood money continues to run from U.S. Congress. And this should be the real issue that Americans have.
We were able to hear those protesters a little bit. But just for clarity's sake, can you reiterate a little bit of what they said? Just so the audience can be sure to hear.
Yeah, I just asked how they feel about $100 billion for foreign countries, and they're sick of it. They think it's obscene.
Yeah.
They think it's out of control. And I mean, I can continue to ask, how do you feel about Congress spending $100 billion on foreign countries?
Oh, in the foreign aid bill?
Yes.
I'm happy with it. I mean, I honestly wish more could have gone to, obviously, movements like this one, not even just this one, maybe getting peace going on in Ukraine as well.
So $60 billion for Ukraine, $8 billion for Palestine is not enough?
I really don't know much about foreign policy budget, but I am studying it. And
those were just the numbers from the latest bill.
Oh,
yeah.
It's expensive, but the United States is this hegemonic power, and we kind of do have, whether we like it or not, we have a role as one of the most, if not the most powerful Western powers to keep the peace, I think. You know, it's expensive, but...
Do you think the U.S. has done a good job of keeping the peace?
I would say, well, you know, I think that's debatable. Really, not in most cases. I would say, like, the U.S., I mean, you make a good point. The U.S. has, like, been an occupying force in some ways and not always been a peacemaking force. The U.S. military can be very violent, but I also think that U.S. intervention in some cases is necessary.
All right. Thank you for talking to us. What about you, sir? How do you feel about $100 billion in the latest congressional bill? $60 billion for Ukraine, $20 billion for Israel, $8 billion for Palestine, $10 billion for South China Sea.
We should be selling arms.
Do you work? Do you have a job?
Yeah, I had a job. Now I go to school. So.
Do you guys like your tax dollars going to foreign wars?
I mean, that's like asking, do you like being punched in the face? Like, yeah. No.
It's kind of common sense.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
I would think it's common sense.
But, like,
yeah.
Some some things are necessary evils. I don't like to pay taxes that much, but I like to drive on roads. I like to have running water. I like my public education here at UT. Like,
well, you do pay for that, though.
Yeah, but imagine how expensive it would be.
Actually, college was cheaper before banks started giving out loans and grants started going out. It was like a quarter of the price it is now. But that's a whole other topic. I appreciate you guys talking. I want to get some other opinions. Thank you, guys. Excuse me. How do you feel about $100 billion for foreign nations in the latest security package?
I'm not voicing my opinion.
Nothing. What about you, sir? No opinion on the matter? Excuse me. What about you? Do you have a problem with $100 billion for foreign countries?
I guess it depends on where it goes.
$60 billion for Ukraine, $20 billion for Israel, $8 billion for Palestine, $10 billion for South China Sea.
On the Israel question, if I ask a question.
Sure.
If the Iron Dome defense, which is supplied by the Soviet Union, prevents the outbreak of like a larger
conflict. So you're saying because Israel shoots down missiles that stops a larger conflict? Is that what you're saying? I think the whole thing is a scam. I think these countries work together to steal our money, and the military-industrial complex makes out like bandits. Because these countries call each other. Iran calls Israel and says, hey, we're going to do this, and then they fire all the missiles, and then they shoot them down, and we pay another $6 billion.
Yeah, in that case, I think Iran...
Hey, I thank you for your time. We're going to move. All right, go
One
ahead.
Minute
what
left, Owen, before break.
What is that?
1 minute left before break, Owen.
Highway Patrol.
All right. So, look, I could probably talk to most of these people, and they would probably agree that $100 billion for foreign countries is a bad thing.
Sure.
And like these other guests said, it's common sense. I mean, that should be common sense foreign policy. That should be common sense funding. And it's amazing that you'll have infrastructure. I can drive in Austin, Texas for 20 minutes and find 30 potholes that can't be fixed. But we've got $60 billion for Ukraine to secure its border and fund its war. So this is, I think, a common frustration we have. But unfortunately, we don't talk about that. We talk about the things that divide us, like police and Israel and Palestine.
Wow. Well, folks, we're about ready to come up on a break for 4 minutes. We'll be back on the other side with more news and more from Owen Schroyer on the ground at the University of Texas here in Austin, Texas, capturing this historic moment of protests happening nationwide. Stick with us for more on the other side. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is April 24th, 2024, Wednesday. This afternoon, I am Chase Geyser hosting the War Room while Owen Schroyer is on the ground at the University of Texas. It looks like he's got Nick Sordor with him. It is an honor and a pleasure to be with both these gentlemen. Owen, I leave it to you.
Yeah, we've just been joined by Nick out here. He's been longer on the scene than I have, so I just wanted to get his analysis, what you've seen out here, Nick.
Sure, Owen, yeah. I mean, it's gotten increasingly intense here over the past hour or so. We've seen foreign units coming from several different departments at this point. You have state troopers, you have Austin police, you have the university. I think hundreds of them at this point. You've seen many arrests, a lot of people that were not willing to move back when the police line was pushing them, and they ended up very quickly on the ground in handcuffs. At least a dozen arrests so far, and you know the police aren't just arresting people for protesting, and they have to actually make some people move or act aggressively or use orders in order to be put in handcuffs.
So if they don't move back with the police line, or I heard some people were throwing projectiles at police, that's what would wind up in an arrest?
That is correct.
So it seemed like it was kind of more intense about an hour or so ago before we got on the scene. What was it like when the police arrived in force and were trying to disperse? And do you know what was going on in this grassy area before they got here?
So they actually
he sounds better when you're looking at him.
The protesters here were attempting to set up tents like they are at other universities across the nation right now. They had a bunch of tents. You can see if you walk up the side here, there's a bunch of tents that have been demolished because police came in and took them apart and threw them aside. So the goal was to take over the entire park here, which you can see has been cordoned off. They pushed over the cones and the rope. And so they try to come in and make it an encampment like they have on other college campuses.
And it seems to be the exact same tents from the other campuses, too, funny enough.
Exactly. You know, man, I'm telling you, this protest has been extremely well organized, and it really makes me wonder who's funding this conference.
Yeah, well, we know it's George Soros, at least. And Jewish Voices for Peace, I believe, are one group that have been tied to the funding as well. But people are still investigating that. But no doubt it's well-funded and well-organized. Nick, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Well, you're probably pretty brave coming out here with that flag, but why? Why are you here?
I got to stand up for my people. On this campus, we're seeing anti-Semitism and pro-terrorism and anti-Western, anti-American, anti-Israel. I'm not going to put up for it, not on my campus.
You're one of few out here. I think I saw maybe a couple other people with an Israeli flag, but you're really outnumbered, maybe 20-30 to 1. Is this just not a campus that has a lot of Jewish students, or is there just not much support being drummed up for the Israeli side?
I think throughout history, we've seen the world turn their back on the Jewish people, demonize the Jewish people. This is an example where they're demonizing Israel. This has been our history. Everyone's always against us.
Do you feel safe on campus?
Honestly, I had someone come up to me and tell me who wants the red triangle. That refers to the Hamas propaganda videos where they put the red triangles over Israeli military targets where they strike. From the river to the sea, Palestine, Arabia, all of these chants, I don't feel safe. But I think that the governor and the campus and the police have done a great job with that.
Do you think this is going to cool off or get worse in the coming days?
I think this is going to get worse. I really do. And it's scary. It's very scary. I'm ready to get out of here. I know all my Jewish peers are ready to get out of here, too.
Okay. Thank you for your time. Have a good day. So there you go. How much time do we have left here, guys?
So we've got 5 minutes, and then I believe this is the last segment we're going to do with you on the ground until you come back in studio.
Yeah, and so I'm gonna be shooting another report, but I want to try to ask a couple other people here how they feel about this bill. Excuse me, can I ask you a question? How do you feel about the $100 billion spending bill that Congress just passed? We'll see if we have an open-minded person here. He can talk to whoever he wants. Cult leader. Hey, hi, man. Sorry, I'm holding the mic. Thank you. So what do you think about the $100 billion goal that the House just passed for foreign aid?
I did see that. I think it's a lot of waste of money, honestly. I don't think we should include ourselves in other people's business. Our tax dollars are going to be something that isn't helping our society out, well, our American population.
Do you think it's ironic that a lot of this bill money is included for the Ukrainian border guard, but yet we have a wide open border?
Yeah, I think that's kind of funny. I mean, I don't know too much about. I just know we sent like $80 million to Ukraine. We sent $80 million.
$60 billion for Ukraine, $20 billion for Israel, $8 billion for Palestine, and then another $10 billion for South China Sea Asian issues.
I don't know. We need to secure our borders more as well. Yeah,
and what do you think about this protest today?
Well, I mean, I was getting out of class. My classes were just canceled.
They've canceled classes now.
Yeah.
So there you go, folks. They have started canceling classes.
I think that's my class, I wasn't high yet, so it got canceled. But I don't know. I think at least, like, nothing bad has happened yet. Like, something physically bad to people. But I don't know. I thought it was kind of interesting, but I'm not for it. I think both sides have their problems.
Have you seen any American flags out here today?
No, I've mainly seen Israel's flags and.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that I did see Israel flags because I was kind of scared for them to maybe get beat up or something because this is like a mass Palestine protest.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we just talked to one gentleman, so I guess that's a risk out here. Maybe waving an American flag would be a bigger risk. I don't know.
I think so. Yeah.
That's interesting. Hey, thank you for talking to us. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Thank you,
man. Hey, would you guys answer a question for me?
Yeah, what's good?
How do you feel about the $100 billion foreign aid package that the House just passed?
Oh, no.
Do you have a job?
Yeah, I have a job.
Do you like your taxpayer dollars going to foreign countries to secure their border?
No.
What about funding their wars?
I don't like it. I think we should keep American money on American soil.
Do you drive around Austin very often?
No, I'm not dealing with that.
A bike or anything like that?
My bike got stolen. If anyone knows where that is, it's a gray
I don't remember. I've had it for like 10 years.
So this is a childhood memory, your bike, and somebody ripped it away from you.
They ripped it away right outside my apartment.
Nobody can pay for the emotional distress that you suffered.
Definitely not these protesters.
No. I don't even think they care, to be honest.
I don't think so either.
The perpetrator could be in that audience.
They could. Are you trying to find them?
I wouldn't suggest it. They'll probably arrest you.
That's not fair.
I know. That's what we deal with now, man. Hey, thank you for talking to us. Appreciate that.
Wow. Right, 2 minutes left, Owen.
We have left here, Chase.
We got 2 minutes.
Okay, so we'll give you one last look, but I mean, at this point in time, I think that you're just looking at what's going to remain here for the rest of the day. You're going to have kind of the standoff. The police will probably be out here the rest of the day. There'll be chance, you know, for one thing or the other for the rest of the day. But my guess is the arrests have been made, and we're probably just going to be seeing the standoff now between these left-wing protesters and the police, as it appears some elderly women are coming through here right now. I'm not sure if this is as part of the protest, but there's no doubt the issue of Israel versus Palestine owns the day, while the United States of America is getting robbed dry and invaded at world record pace, and we can't even get basic security.
Wow.
This guy had his bike stolen.
Outstanding, outstanding reporting on the ground, Owen Schroyer. Thank you so much for joining the broadcast, and we'll have you back in studio in a few minutes. All right, so before we go to break in 45 seconds, this type of reporting is only possible because of a couple of things. First of all, the audacity for Owen Schroyer to see a breaking story happening down the road and making the decision to go down and report on it live on the air for us. That was the first step. The second step is the fact that we are on the air at all, which is only possible because of things like InfoWarsStore.com and, of course, DrJonesNaturals.com. That's DrJonesNaturals.com. Now, we know that Alex Jones and InfoWars and Alex's family have been under attack for years. Next Level Foundational Energy is a great way to fight back because it'll elevate your energy levels without the crash associated with other stimulants. It's got essential vitamins and an amazing formula. Check it out at DrJonesNaturals.com. More on the other side. Owen Schroyer is on his way back to studio. We'll be doing the remaining of the show this afternoon as soon as he gets back into the studio. I don't know how bad traffic is going to be. It seems like most of those protesters probably live on campus, so looks like he'll be back very soon. Now, so much to garner from those 45 minutes or so that we had together with Owen. Obviously, there was some unruly antagonism amongst leftist students and leftist professors at UT, antagonism toward InfoWars as a network, and obviously the protest is overwhelmingly in support of Palestine and antagonistic toward Israel. We did see one Jewish student who was kind enough to answer questions and brave enough, frankly, to wear an Israeli flag in that environment, and I'm not condoning the actions of Israel or taking a side at all. I'm just making observations, as Owen was making observations as well, of this protest. But there were a number of occasions where it seemed like some of these students who were happy to answer questions were just totally unaware of what's really going on in the political climate, both in the United States and worldwide. One of them thought that just millions of dollars instead of billions of dollars had been sent overseas. I know it may have been hard for some of the audience to hear. Others didn't even really understand the context of what happened last Saturday when, on Adolf Hitler's birthday, April 20th, 2024, we funded $61 billion to Nazis in Ukraine. And I just want to show clip six here. This is an InfoWars article from earlier today. Watch clueless students at NYU demonstration have no idea why they're protesting. So this, in the context of what's happening at UT, this, of course, was NYU. Let's run clip number six and unpack it.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh.
I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
So she goes to protest in Columbia. She comes down from Columbia to NYU to protest, and she admittedly does not know why she's protesting, what's going on, or who's behind it. And this is the problem. We have a generation of people in America who are so passionate about their opinions, yet unable or unaware of any of the information or data or reasons behind what they believe. This is the epitome of indoctrination, when you just believe something for the sake of believing it, regardless of what the truth of the matter is. So it's not important to these students, this culture, these people, to actually discover what the truth is. What's important to them is to push their worldview, impose their worldview on the rest of us. Now, that would be all fine and good, but we have a Congress, three-fourths of our Congress, voting to send $61 billion to Ukraine, and the total package adding up to over $90 billion between money sent to Taiwan or the Indo-Pacific region, Israel and Ukraine and all these conflicts, and it's all being allowed to happen because we have a population that refuses to hold our politicians accountable. And how can we hold our politicians accountable if we don't know what the truth is? And how can we discover what the truth is if we don't even value truth itself? I mean, we've seen countless clips and examples. The most famous one being last week, the CEO of NPR giving that TED talk where she discussed how truth is subjective, which course is to make an objective claim about the nature of truth. To say that it is subjective is an objective claim, but saying that it's your truth and my truth and our truth and it's this subjective thing, there is a movement, an effort, concerted effort, to not only eradicate Western culture or Americanism or white people or whatever you want to call it from the face of the earth. There is an effort to eradicate the value of truth itself as something that people pursue, believe in, and love. I mean, we've seen the same thing happen to science. Science is something that was established and practiced early on quietly among dissidents who wanted to pursue and understand the true nature of the universe and had to hide either from governments or religious institutions what experiments they were conducting, what they were doing. Because they believed in the truth. The truth was a value of Western culture. And that is the process of science. The scientific method is meant to test a hypothesis, to develop evidence for either its truth or falsehood, and then move on. And this is a system by which we are supposed to discover what is true. And there isn't supposed to be a conflict between Christianity and science because, as a Christian myself, I believe that science will inevitably lead to God because those who pursue the truth must inevitably come across the ultimate truth that Jesus Christ is our Savior and God is real. Now, while our students and our culture abandon truth and reason and morals and values and information, we have a government that has totally gotten out of hand. So it's not a government that just does these passive, corrupt acts. It's a government that spends billions of dollars on wars all over the world and has for many decades. Wars that amount to hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of innocent people being killed. Wars that amount to increased corruption, displacement, suffering of humanity, basically anti-human violence. And we have Biden proposing the highest capital gains tax in over 100 years. The Biden administration has proposed the highest top capital gains tax in over a century. According to Biden's 2025 budget proposal, the top marginal rate on long-term capital gains and qualified dividends would rise to 44.6%. Now, this proposal marks the highest tax increase since the creation of the capital gains tax in 1922. Could significantly curtail the financial returns of investors in stock and crypto. And the Biden administration is going to come out and say that this is a tax on the rich. They're going to say that only the wealthy have enough money to put in the stock market, and that this is a way to ensure that billionaires pay their fair share. But the fact of the matter is, we have an entire generation of Americans ready to retire. This is a generation of Americans, the baby boom generation, which is very large and coming up in age. My parents are members of the baby boomer generation. They were born in 1949. They are 75. My parents both still work, but many of their peers have retired and are planning to retire very soon. And I know that Joe Biden is old, but he is actually not a member of the boomer generation. He is too old. He is a member of the silent generation, which explains why he must be silent whenever Americans ask for help or need help here. And he shakes hands with ghosts at the same time. So let's look at clip 4 and 5 back to back. This is the example. Joe Biden shakes hands with air after incoherent speech in Tampa. Let's check out 4 and 5 back to back and then unpack it.
Oh,
What's he doing? Luke.
America. God bless you all.
Unbelievable. Lost again. How many times do we have to practice this job? Left, right, left, right. Unbelievable to see this. So, and we have him too. Let's just run clip three. We ran out on the Alex Jones Show. This is him reading from the teleprompter where it says pause. It's telling him to pause at that moment of the speech to allow for applause, presumably from the audience. Let's watch him just read the word pause. Clip number three.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause. Four more years.
It is noteworthy.
He was supposed to pause for the chant to kick off.
Registered to vote and cast a ballot is consistently higher than the percentage of the men who do so. End of quote. Repeat the line.
End of quote. There you have it, folks. And this finally shows blasphemous Biden making the sign of the cross at mention of abortion. Clip number two.
And then we come back here to the state of Florida, where Ron DeSantis felt like he needed to run for president. And so 15 weeks wasn't good enough. We had to go to 6 weeks.
Now, it makes sense why AOC would have to hold his hand. Let's just throw this up on the background. AOC holds hands, walks in the woods with Biden during awkward Earth Day campaign stop. So we've seen countless examples of Joe Biden incapable of walking on his own. Obviously, he's fallen quite a number of times. I recall from last week that clip that aired of him walking with a handful of students, maybe half a dozen to a dozen young children, and they were walking around him as if they knew he was incredibly fragile. I don't know if you've ever seen a young child, I have toddlers, around something that you've informed them is fragile, but they were walking around Joe Biden just like that. Now we have AOC holding his hand on Earth Day, and Biden coming out saying that he's considering a national climate emergency and giving himself COVID-like powers without congressional approval. Now, we don't have time in this segment to run this clip, so I'm going to run it on the other side. But stick with us, folks. And in the meantime, make sure you visit InfoWarsStore.com because we do have Vitamin Mineral Fusion back in stock at 40% off, folks. Now, this is a unique delivery system of the vitamins and minerals that the body needs. There are tons of other ways that you can get multivitamins, name brands, off brands, at grocery store, but none like Vitamin Mineral Fusion, which not only delivers these vitamins and minerals to your body in a unique way to ensure you can absorb them, but also keeps InfoWars on the air at InfoWarsStore.com.
The White House telling Fox Business it's now considering declaring a national climate emergency. Oh. But that's a climate crisis to you, Mark. The AP, which sets the standards for newsrooms across the country, they're urging Americans to use the term climate crisis to address the current situation. This is all troubling, but if the president declares a climate emergency, what impact does that have?
Well, I mean, this is the serious story of the today. NBC News has reported that if Joe Biden declares a national climate emergency, he would have COVID-like powers under that emergency, and they also compared the emergency powers to the 9/11 emergency powers. The Center for Biological Diversity has estimated Joe Biden would get about 130 wartime-like powers by which to bypass democracy and impose the Green New Deal on America without a single vote of Congress. This is truly this is a Halloween story, not a story for Earth Day. This is a truly frightening story, and he might just be desperate enough to do it. This is being widely reported in the media. The Biden White House is leaking this out. This might happen, and this is going to give Joe Biden these kind of, you want to say the word, dictatorial powers. He doesn't need no stinking democracy to impose the Green New Deal if he does this.
Now, you can argue about whether or not Joe Biden was lawfully elected to president of the United States or not. You can argue all day about whether or not the 2020 election was thrown. But one thing that is absolutely indisputable is that whoever is running the United States of America, whoever is doing the job of president of the United States, was not elected, because it's neither Donald Trump right now and it's neither Joe Biden. Neither Trump or Biden are running the country right now. So whoever is running the country was not elected. Is this not evidence enough that we need some sort of change? I mean, look at this clip here. This is clip number four from the morning show today. Jeff Zients, White House Chief of Staff, basically claiming that he's running the country. Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, by getting Jeff's sign off, you're getting the president's sign off.
Oh, this Jeff guy's powerful.
Yeah. Realistically, they are, people call him like the second most powerful person in Washington.
Let's go ahead and give Jeff Zients a call. I'm actually going to have my colleague do it from a different phone number. Here we go. Let's call Jeff Zients.
Hello.
Hi, is this Jeff?
It is.
Hey, Jeff, this is I'm a journalist with O'Keefe Media Group. I want to get your comment on a story we're going to be running with the White House. If you had a few moments, if you don't mind.
What's the story?
He runs the White House.
He runs the White House.
Like, he's responsible for everybody that works there.
Uh-huh.
He, like, helps set the president's agenda.
Uh-huh.
Like, controls what gets said, all that stuff.
Is Jeff more powerful than Harris?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no.
And is Jeff more powerful than Kamala?
Like, not legally, but...
So, I have a subject in your branch of government, and he's talking about how, quote, you're the most powerful person at the White House compared to the vice president. Are you more powerful than the VP?
I'm not interested in this story. Thank you.
Sir, I'd like your comment on that. The American people would like to know.
Who would you say is the most powerful person at the White House?
Jeff? Yeah.
Jeff is the most powerful person at the White House.
Other than, like, the president.
So all buck stops, like all roads lead to Jeff.
Jeff and the president, yeah.
Sir.
No comment. Sorry.
Sir, can you answer the question? The American people are interested. Are you, this is a source I'm not going to reveal, are you the more powerful than the vice president?
Why is he so stealth?
This is kind of a role.
Because that gives him more power.
Yeah.
More, like, ability to do things, get things done.
Yeah.
He says this. He says, who's the most powerful? I hung up. It's White House Chief of Staff.
What an intrepid undercover citizen journalist. What an intrepid person. I know you're listening. I can't say what your name is. But great work. Once again, citizen journalists, American swipers, meeting with people in Washington, D.C.
Wow. Absolutely amazing. So even the establishment itself, even the regime itself is eating itself. It's like a snake with its own tail in its mouth. And they can tell the truth when they don't know they're on camera, but similar to what we saw from the protesters, as soon as you put the camera on them, they run away and say no comment. Stick with us, folks, for more news on the other side. Owen Schroyer is expected back in studio, hopefully by half past the hour, but as soon as he's back, he will be taking over the helm. And a great guest coming up at the bottom of the hour, which I'll tell you more about later if he's not back in studio in time for that. And speaking of conspiracy, while we have Joe Biden shaking hands with the air, while we have Joe Biden reading the instructions on the teleprompter, while we have his own administration, members of his own administration, his own regime, admitting that he is not even running the White House, that's actually his chief of staff doing it, and while we have AOC, of all people, holding his hand so he doesn't fall on Earth Day, somehow we have one-sided application of the law, one-sided attacks against a candidate for the president of the United States, saying that Trump is actually the one who is unfit for the office of the president of the United States, when we know for a fact that Joe Biden is not only unfit to be the president of the United States, but he's actually not the one even doing the job. And so we have this clip 9 that we're going to run here in a moment. This is law professor Jonathan Turley on New York Case saying that Trump is right. This is an embarrassment. George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley has been one of the most outspoken legal critics of the New York court case that Trump is dealing with right now. During an appearance on Fox News Today, Turley called the case an embarrassment, saying that he agrees with Trump. Let's go ahead and run this clip, please.
Is in this case, Trump is right. I mean, this is an embarrassment. I mean, the fact that we are actually talking about this case being presented in a New York courtroom leaves me in utter disbelief. I mean, the arguments today did, in fact, capture all the problems here. You know, you had this misdemeanor under state law where that had run out. This is going back to related to the 2016 election. And they zapped it back into life by alleging that there was a campaign finance violation under the federal laws that doesn't exist. The Department of Justice doesn't view it this way.
So there you have it, folks. And when you have major professors of major institutions, institutions traditionally notoriously left, coming out and telling the truth about this, then something must be up. I'm going to show clip 10 here in a minute. This is the clip 10 from the social contract breaking down. We ran this on the Alex Jones Show, and I just want to show this clip again from MSNBC because it's so important. But when we see reports like Joe Biden in Tampa saying that he used to drive an 18-wheeler, when we see lie after lie, I mean, last week the lie was that Joe Biden had a relative, was it an uncle, who crashed, and he claimed he was consumed by cannibals. Totally unfounded, never found his body. He just made that up. He makes up things time and time again. He is obviously the liar of liars as far as candidates for the president of the United States go, but we see this lawfare, these 91 federal charges being waged against Donald Trump, charges which I vehemently believe would never have even come against Trump had he made the decision not to run again for president of the United States of America. It just goes to show that we have an establishment that is one-sided and for some reason or another, or maybe a slew of reasons, has made the decision to do everything that it can against the Constitution of our republic, against the very spirit and nature and culture of what it means to be American. This institution, this establishment, has decided to do whatever can be done to prevent Donald Trump from being president of the United States again, despite the fact that he is overwhelmingly popular. They want him off the ballots in several states. The Supreme Court had to rule and correct that. Now they're trying to appoint an inspector general over the Supreme Court that can report ethics violations to the attorney general because they want to weaken the Supreme Court as it is, given that it's a right-leaning Supreme Court, allegedly. I would say it's just a constitutional-leaning Supreme Court. And not only did they try to get him off the ballot in several states for a crime he was never charged with, but they decided to charge him with 91 other indictments, felonies, amounting to hundreds of years in prison if he's convicted for all of them. And none of the details for none of these cases really add up. I mean, you're coming after him again for the Stormy Daniels stuff. That is like so 20 years ago, that news. It's almost 20 years ago now that he's alleged to have had this relationship, which we don't even know whether it happened. I mean, she wrote in her own handwriting. She signed a paper saying that it didn't happen, right? And then now she says it does. What's the deal here? Not to mention the fact that there's actual allegations against Joe Biden for sexual impropriety, not only by staffers in the early 90s, which were reported to the Senate, but by his own daughter in her diary when she was underage, apparently having inappropriate showers with her father, waiting until after he was asleep to shower so she didn't have to worry about being bothered. So we've got many founded accusations against Joe Biden, certainly more founded than E. Jean Carroll. We've got rumors, conspiracies, well-founded as well, that John F. Kennedy was in an inappropriate relationship with Marilyn Monroe. We have obvious evidence that Bill Clinton had an inappropriate sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky and used the powers of the White House, of the executive branch, to try to hush that up as much as possible. But nothing really happened there either. And so this hypocrisy here is absolutely astounding, mind-boggling. But the fact that now we're seeing reports, the fact that now we're seeing headlines showing compilations of him screwing up with the teleprompter or making weird claims about cannibalism or making weird claims about driving 18-wheelers or making real weird, bizarre claims about whether he was or wasn't an activist in the civil rights movement. It seems that the establishment has made the decision they no longer want Joe Biden to be the candidate for the Democratic Party for the presidency. It seems that the intelligence community, the DNC, have both come to the realization that this man is not capable of being the president of the United States for another 4 years. Of course, he wasn't even capable of being the president of the United States for the last 4 years. But at least he was manageable as a puppet. He would bark when you told him to bark. He would quack when you told him to quack. Now he's like a loose cannon. And it kind of started when he said before this invasion of Ukraine that the United States would destroy the Nord Stream 2 pipeline if Russia invaded Ukraine. Of course, Russia did invade Ukraine, and the Nord Stream 2 pipeline was destroyed. And then he denied it. So he admitted it, and then he denied it. And there's been other examples of Joe Biden claiming either ahead of time or post facto and the White House having to come and walk back his accidental revelations of conversations that he's been in on. Conversations, of course, that are had at conference tables with the name tags adjusted in such a way that Joe Biden has to or is able to see the names of the people that he's meeting with. Now, you can look at pictures in the Situation Room or different conference meetings. You can go on my Twitter account at RealChaseGeiser and search name tags as either one word or two words. You'll see the thread that I made just a week ago or so, where you can see the difference between the way the name tags in meetings were laid out under Donald Trump as president of the United States and the way the name tags are laid out with Joe Biden as president of the United States. When Donald Trump was president of the United States, the name tags were directly in front of the people at the desks so that everyone in the room could see the name of everyone else, and Trump couldn't see their names. He didn't need to because he knew who he was meeting with. Now, the images show that Joe Biden is sitting at this large conference table in the Situation Room or other meeting rooms, and all the name tags are situated perpendicular to the person that they indicate. So it would be like if I'm sitting at this desk, my name tag's facing this way, right? Front of my hand is my name, and Joe Biden's sitting at the end of the table. So no one across from me or around me can see what my name is, but Joe Biden can read my name and say, oh, Chase, you had something you wanted to say, and pretend that he knows who I am. I mean, it's obvious that this man is totally unaware of what's going on, and he's just in these meetings because technically the president of the United States is supposed to be there. It's reminiscent of that, was it a Central or South American man? Last week, the clip went viral. This woman brought this dead man in a wheelchair into a bank to try to get a loan. And he was obviously dead, and she's trying to hold up his hand. It was like Weekend at Ernie's or something. Trying to hold up his head and his hand, and he's literally dead. His head's falling back, his mouth's open, he's pale as a ghost. That seems like what's happening here with Joe Biden as president of the United States. Yeah, this is the clip right here. That man is dead, and that woman is trying to get him to sign paperwork for loans, apparently? And she's trying to pretend that he's still alive. Everyone's like, whoa, something's weird here. That guy is not alive. That is like Joe Biden whenever he signs an executive order, or Joe Biden whenever he signs any piece of legislation that comes across his desk. Yeah, there's the clip right there. Name tags facing him. Scroll down below. My reply shows you an example of Donald Trump's name tag placement as well. See? Totally different. Because Trump actually knew who he was meeting with. It's mind-blowing, the level of incompetence here, but what's even more mind-blowing is we see these protests breaking out all over the United States of America, either on behalf of Palestine or on behalf of Israel, mostly on behalf of Palestine among college students, of course. These protests are breaking out. You go around, Owen interviews them. Some of them kind of know what's going on. Most of them don't really. They get the numbers wrong. They don't really know what happened last Saturday. They're just looking at the protesters. They're like fascinated. These students are fascinated with people who seem to know enough to have an opinion. So there's the protesters, and then there's the people looking at the protesters like, wow, they really believe something. Wonder what this is all about. And there's absolutely no one to be found anywhere protesting everything that has resulted in the demise of our culture and our economy and our people and our country, frankly. I mean, why is it that we have protesters barking on campuses on behalf of Palestine or against Israel, but not protesting on our campuses about massive inflation, which is making it impossible for young adults to own a home one day, or massive debt, or the 20% increase in declarations of bankruptcy year over year, or the massive mortgage interest rates, or the massive importation of migrants into this country that's resulted in inflated housing costs in sanctuary cities all over the United States of America, not to mention less demand for native labor. So let's run clip number 10 here and unpack this. This is the social contract breaking down. UCLA professor warns young people opting out of America as inflation destroys their wealth. This is clip number 10 here of the, I believe it's clip number 10 here. You know what? We'll have to pivot because this is, it's in the overhead cam. If you guys can find it, just let me know. We'll go to it. But in the meantime, I want to go on because this ties right in to this next story, which I wanted to touch on. Speaker Mike Johnson, apparently his sergeant of arms threatens Representative Massey to take down his video of Democrats waving Ukrainian flags on the House floor or face a $500 fine. And the reason I want to bring this up ties directly into what we're talking about here. Why is it that members of our Congress are lawfully allowed to wave the flag of another nation in the halls of Congress in the capital of the United States of America without any fine or sanction or reprimand or even real backlash politically? Why is it that 75% of the members of the House of Representatives are able to fund foreign conflicts to the tune of $100 billion, nearly $100 billion? No, it's going to be more. This isn't the last time they're going to pass a bill like this or funding like this or legislation like this. But then when Massey comes out and shows the video publicly of how embarrassing this betrayal is, frankly, this treason is, he's the one that's threatened with a $500 fine. So on Saturday afternoon, Democrats and uniparty rhinos passed legislation to send another $60 billion to Ukraine to fund their war with Russia. This was money borrowed from the U.S. Treasury to fund a prolonged war in Europe's most corrupt nation, Ukraine, against Russia. Now, Texas lawmaker Chip Roy recently revealed that only $47 billion of the $113 billion in Ukraine funding actually went to lethal aid, and they're not sure about the rest. Now, following the vote, Democrat members of Congress cheered and waved Ukrainian flags, as you've seen, on the House floor after voting to give them another $60.8 billion in taxpayer funds. The $95.3 billion foreign aid package funds Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan with nothing for Americans. Now, Representative Thomas Massey posted a video of the courageous spectacle on his X account. The video currently has over 6 million views. Representative Anna Paulina Luna famously responded, "Put those damn flags away," as she chided radical left for waving the Ukrainian flag in the U.S. House. Now, on Tuesday night, Representative Massey posted on X that he was threatened to take down his video of Democrats waving the Ukrainian flags on the House floor or be fined $500. Speaker Mike Johnson's sergeant of arms sent Massey the warning. Now, this is the humiliation. And let's go ahead and run this clip of this social contract. Were you able to find it?
For the first time in our nation's history, a 30-year-old man or woman isn't doing as well as his or her parents were at 30. That is the social compact breaking down. People aged 30 to 34, 60% of them in 1990 had one child. Now it's 27%. People are opting out of America. They're not optimistic about it. They're not having kids. Young people aren't having sex. They're not meeting. They're not mating. The pool of emotionally and economically viable men shrinks every day, which lessens household formation. So we have a real issue. Young people are enraged. So it turns every cut, every movement into an opportunistic infection because, quite frankly, they are just pissed off. They look up, they see wealth, exceptional wealth across my generation and people in certain industries, and they are really struggling. Their purchasing power is going down, and the incumbents create artificial scarcity on campus. We take pride in rejecting 90% of our applicants, so the incumbents who already have a degree see their degree go up in value. We get very concerned with housing and traffic once we own the housing. Housing permits are sequestered from young people. Housing prices have gone from 290 to 420 in the last 4 years. So a young person, a house, stocks that I don't own, skyrocket in value. Let's have COVID relief and flush the markets and take assets way up, because if a million people dying would be bad, would be tragic if I got less wealthy. And we're doing it on their credit card. Young people have every reason to be enraged, and every issue they see, they look up, they get angry, and they see someone doing better than them. And then every day it is speedballed in their face that they are failing, that they are not doing as well as everyone around them. We have lost the script. Our kids are more anxious and more depressed and more obese and more addicted. And we have made a purposeful decision to let this happen by ensuring the people around this table stay wealthy at the cost of young people.
And the most insidious aspect of this is that not only is the next generation basically screwed because of the bad leftist and globalist policies of our current political leaders, but it has been brainwashed to believe that the culprit, the entity responsible for its demise, is capitalism or Americanism itself. So not only has radical inflation occurred, not only is it impossible for the next generation to buy a house, not only are young people getting sick at younger and younger ages and life expectancies expected to decline for the first time in the history of generations, basically, in the United States. Not only is everything getting worse, but the people who are responsible for the worsening of the standard of living in the United States of America have successfully brainwashed an entire generation of Americans to believe that those who have actually been fighting on their behalf for them and for America and for these things not to be an issue are the ones responsible for it. That's what's most insidious to me about this. And we see that these attacks come against capitalism or against the police or against the right wing or against republicanism or Americanism or systemic racism, everything but the actual culprit. I mean, think about it, folks. Every time that the left has criticized capitalism or framed capitalism as a failure because it is supposedly the cause of these massive financial struggles and the cultural erosion and entropy of our entire nation. But they have framed it in such a way that no one realizes the real culprit is fascism. Like, they can never say fascism is causing the censorship of American people. They have to say crony capitalism. Or they can never say that fascism is what is responsible for the money laundering in Ukraine and the skimming of our political class in these foreign conflicts through the military-industrial complex and the political-industrial complex alike. They have to say it's crony capitalism. But what is crony capitalism if not fascism? Frankly, fascism is defined as the control of private business by the government. And crony capitalism is the bribing of government for advantage in business, right? And so they're the same thing, just looked at from opposite directions. Because you have to bribe the entity that controls you in order to get what you want. They say that's crony capitalism. No, it's fascism. So if the federal government can't come out and silence you because that's an explicit violation of your First Amendment right to the freedom of speech, what they do is they get involved in the boards of directors for publicly traded companies like Twitter when it was publicly traded, YouTube, Google, Instagram, Facebook, and they develop relationships and scheduled weekly routine meetings with the leadership in these corporations, and they apply pressure without explicitly even needing to state that there will be repercussions or reprimands if these companies don't follow the orders of the government. They understand that every time Elizabeth Warren threatens to break up their company, that is the outcome they face if they don't play ball with the intelligence community. So that isn't crony capitalism that these organizations have been advancing a leftist agenda on behalf of the federal government. That is fascism, folks. So capitalism is not responsible for the ills of this generation and the generations to come. It is fascism that is responsible. When they say they are anti-fascist, it is similar to when they say they are anti-racist. They are actually being fascist and racist simultaneously. It's absolutely disgusting. Now, we could go into this time and time again and go deeper and deeper at just example after example. Obviously, you can see here on the desk, we have headline after headline. I did 3 hours of the Alex Jones Show today, and now I'm in the second hour of the War Room, and I still haven't even scratched the surface of everything we could talk about. Over here on the desk are two stacks that I even haven't even had a chance to look through. So the stuff fanned out here is the stuff that I selected. I haven't even looked through those other two stacks. That's how much we could talk about and all the details we could get in. But on the other side, we do have a very special guest joining us on War Room Now. Owen Schroyer is expected back any minute, but until he is back in studio, I am sitting here in the chair. Diane Kaiser is a graduate of New Eden School of Natural Health and Herbal Studies. As a doctor of traditional naturopathy, she is the founder of the Cleanse, Heal, Ignite Ministry, specializes in detoxification plus healing the gut from toxins and trauma, and is the most sought-after health practitioner in Orange County, California, entrusted by well-respected doctors and their patients using her food and herbs as medicine approach, and beyond that into lifestyle and mindset, which is what is mostly missing today in the wellness industry. So Diane Kaiser is going to be joining us on the other side. In the meantime, I do want to remind you, speaking of health, to visit drjonesnaturals.com. That's drjonesnaturals.com, because Next Level Foundational Energy is a groundbreaking supplement that doesn't just stimulate you or trick you into thinking that you have energy, but it actually supplies you with that real foundational energy, which is why you never crash when you use it. It'll elevate your energy levels and get those essential vitamins and minerals into your bloodstream. Stay tuned, folks, for more on the other side. Schroyer is safely back in studio, so we're going to do one segment together, debrief a little bit about his experience at these protests, and then, of course, he's going to take the lead with Diane Kaiser as the guest in the next segment. Owen, you've had a little bit of time to decompress after we had you on air 45 minutes ago, drove back, saw some more things. What is your general assessment, zeitgeist, of what you saw today?
Well, I would say my opinion that I shared on the Alex Jones Show with you earlier really hasn't changed. But I think that there's one developing story here. I don't know if it's just at UT, but maybe it's nationwide. And it would appear that this is kind of slowly transforming back to an anti-police movement, back to an anti-police demonstration. Because from just my experience at UT today, it's a small fringe that are involved in this protest. UT is a massive college. I would guess probably at least 30,000 in attendance. From walking around campus, it was mostly just seemed like a normal day, except for that one concentrated area where the protesters were trying to set up camp, and they immediately got shut down. So it's really a small element at UT that were engaged in the anti-Israel protests. I would say maybe a couple hundred that were really there to protest Israel, to be pro-Palestine. It was probably just a couple hundred. It was a small number. But when the police got involved, that's when it started to grow. That's when the protest numbers started to get bigger. The numbers of demonstrators started to get bigger. The energy got kind of amped up. Because most of these people, Israel, Palestine, they don't know much about it. They probably don't care much about it. Whatever information or indoctrination they're getting is probably fresh to them. But the anti-police stuff, the anti-police rhetoric, the anti-police indoctrination, that's been there. It's kind of been dormant, maybe. They've tried to stoke it up with the shooting in Chicago. It didn't work. It didn't take. I mean, the guy shot at police first, so, I mean, it just didn't work. But it seemed like it became an anti-police thing. The anti-police chants began. The anti-police sentiment started to ring out throughout the crowds. So there's a potential that this could kind of be a combining of forces, and you would not just have the anti-Israel demonstrators that might have their geopolitical issues, but now you will engage the anti-police wing of these college campuses, and I could see that really intensifying things, growing the numbers, and getting more people involved.
Now, do you think this is, I mean, obviously this is somewhat an outcome of propaganda and conditioning that we've seen from the left for many years, basically ever since George Floyd. But even before that, the algorithms on Facebook, back when Facebook was still widely used by young people, were disproportionately showing a lot of police brutality videos. That's kind of how this all started in my mind. But other than that, do you think that a lot of this is just an outcome of young people in college wanting to fight the man and just be against authority? Like, are they just yearning for something to fight for? And so they're using this as like the obvious way to do that. It's like an immaturity thing, or what is it?
100%. And I was there. I was there when I was a kid.
Sure.
When I was in college, I probably had some straight up liberal beliefs. Overall, I would probably maybe still fall in the right wing. I don't know. But that energy is definitely there at that age. I don't even think this is necessarily something that is unique to this generation or younger generations. I think it's probably been there since, I mean, 40s, 50s, 60s, definitely 70s, 80s. So I think that kind of rebel spirit, if you will, always exists in the youth. I mean, the old saying goes, if you're not a liberal by the time you're 20, you don't have a heart. If you're not a conservative by the time you're 30, you don't have a brain. So it kind of, you know, that's kind of a, that plays into what you're talking about here. So there's definitely that angst, you know, let's call it that youth angst, teenage angst, college student angst. And they take advantage of that, no doubt. But I mean, think about it. It's so easy. I mean, I just go back to my experience. I don't think this is unique. It's so easy in college, and maybe it even starts in high school. You know, you're going to parties and the cops come break it up and maybe arrest a friend of yours for having booze. Or, you know, maybe somebody gets busted with weed, or the cops come break up your party at college, bust
maybe
your friends.
You go to the Capitol and go to prison for 3 months.
Well, that's a whole separate issue. But the point is, it's like you're a kid. You want to go to a party, whatever. You want to drink. You want to smoke weed or whatever else you're doing.
Right.
And the cops are there to spoil your fun. So they become the man. So that kind of becomes the institution of the man, where you're not really dealing with anything else, right? You're not in the corporate world. You're not really paying massive taxes. You don't really have to pay attention to government and foreign policy and stuff like this. You're just focused on, oh, I'm in college and, hey, gee, they police just busted up my party again. Oh, gee, screw the man. We're against the police. So it's definitely a college age thing. So that's why I think I kind of see that's where this direction is going. The police response in Texas, as far as I can tell, was the most rapid response that we've seen at any campus. And this was probably the smallest protest that we've seen on any campus. I mean, the New York protests were big. USC's protest was pretty big. There were some other universities.
Columbia. Yeah.
So, I mean, the Department of Public Safety here and the Texas State Police here, they did not mess around. I mean, as soon as those tents started going up, they shut that down immediately. And like I said, that's what led to the growing numbers and then the anti-police chants. So it's just unfortunate. It's just unfortunate now that you're going to have this new tension rising and you're going to have these new standoffs between young Americans and police. And it's really just all stimuli and mostly propaganda. But now it seems inevitably that's where this is going to go, because the Palestinian people aren't going to go anywhere. They're organized. They're funded. They're going to keep this up. And now that there's going to be this heavy-handed police response to it, it's going to eventually just lead into the anti-police wing and the pro-Palestinian wing kind of merging forces. But naturally, that's where this was going to go anyway, I suppose, because all of these are leftist astroturf protest movements anyway.
So did you get the sense when you were leaving after we were on the air together that the crowd was growing or dissipating or just staying the same?
I would say that the committed demonstrators out there against Israel or for Palestine were probably steadfast. Other than the ones that got arrested, I would say they were probably mostly going to stay put. Most of the people were kind of just passerbys in that audience. Yeah. And maybe they stopped for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, just to kind of scope the scene or maybe go look for their friend. I kind of saw a lot of that going on, like, oh, hey, you know, people waving at one another. So I think most of it was kind of just passerbys. But again, there's the gravity of a police presence, right? There's just a gravity that a police presence has. Whether you're driving down the road and you see the car accident on the other side of the road, sure, people look at it. They want to slow down their cars. So there's always going to be that gravity when you see a law enforcement. And so I would say that the numbers are probably growing just at people stopping and staring and wondering what's going on more than anything. But as far as the Israel versus Palestine thing, I think that you've got a couple hundred people out there that are anti-Israel. Maybe you've got some Jewish students that might start showing up more. But I see this turning into the same thing. I see this turning into just more left-wing astroturf protests. And the more the police respond, the more the left-wing is going to respond with funding and activism and organization. And who knows how far this goes. Some college courses or classes are being canceled. They canceled some at UT today. So it looks like this is probably not going anywhere. This is your protest flavor of the month. And we'll see how long it lasts.
Now, who do you think was behind this protest? We know that the left is famous for busing in protesters and things like that. They've done that for years. But it seems like a lot of these people that were at this particular protest, at least from what I was able to garner, were actual students at UT. So was it the Student Government Association? Was it the Muslim Student Association? Did you ever gather who actually coordinated and planned this? Because it seems very well planned.
Well, there's definitely some planning and coordination. I wasn't really there long enough, and I wasn't really there at the genesis of it, I think, to give too much of an informed opinion. We did talk to some students and some other reporters that were there before us that were kind of like, yeah, it looked like there was some sort of coordination that, hey, we're all going to arrive at this time and set up these tents, and you know, we'll go from there, and it kind of just got shut down immediately. I would say the biggest influence on this is the UT professors, is what it appears to be. It seems like the professors are the biggest influencers here. There were definitely kind of your professional left-wing agitators that were there bringing people out, but it seemed like most of the promotion of this from internally at the campus was from faculty and professors.
Wow. Stick with us, folks, for more on the other side.
All right. Owen Schroyer taking over here on the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. I got to kind of change hats now. I got to do a quick change of hat. And I've been really looking forward to this, and backed by popular demand is Ask the Doctor, if you will. with Dr. Diane Kaiser. Before I bring her on, we're going to talk about a couple things, and then we're going to open up the phone lines, and people love to call in and ask her some questions about holistic healing and health. Before I do that and do my full hat change here, thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com, I can go out and do on the streets reporting like I did today. And I would tell you also, we have two other videos that we have recorded that were yet to file. They're going to be up on band.video soon. I'll probably air those in the final segment of today's show. Now, if you do want to hear some news coverage and geopolitical commentary from me, I was on with Chase Geyser, the third hour of the Alex Jones Show. But we're going to be focusing on health issues now. And here's why. This is something that affects all of us. So it doesn't really matter what your political opinion is. We have to use the same products. We have to eat the same foods. We have the same options available at the grocery store. And so this is a non-political thing. And we need to unite behind non-political things like health. And I would assume that whether you're left, right, center, whatever, that you care about your health. So you'd want to know about this information that we're about to get into with Dr. Kaiser. But, you know, it's funny. As I was out there dealing with some hecklers, I don't know if this made it to air or not, but I was out there dealing with some hecklers, and some guy comes up to me and starts trashing InfoWars products and is like, yeah, didn't they write negative reviews? I'm like, actually, most of our reviews are 5 stars. And when there was a left-wing publication that tried to write a negative story about our products, they went and had them lab tested and then had to say, actually, these are the highest quality supplements on the market. So it was a complete failure, and it just showed how quality our products are. But it was ironic because I'm sitting there, or standing there rather, and here's this soy boy twig with wet noodle arms and a beer gut, and he's standing there talking about, oh yeah, the products are no good, and yeah, I'm like, dude, you have shoestrings hanging out of your sleeves, and you look like you're pregnant. I mean, I don't need to bust the shirt off here, but like, you know, you're an embarrassment, okay? And I'm actually fit and healthy, and yeah, I do take the product. So you're a walking loss. You're just a walking L at that point. So the products at InfoWars work. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, been sold out for a long time, back in stock, 40% off. I drink it every morning because I know I'm getting more than 100% my daily value. Vitamin A, vitamin B6, vitamin B12, C, D, so much more. The boron that most people don't get at all. It's just jam-packed, and it tastes great, too. So be on the lookout at band.video for some follow-up videos that I think you'll like as well. But it's thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com that we're able to do all this. All right, Diane, Dr. Kaiser joins me now. I wanted to kind of get into some general things with you because we've done a couple shows on the Alex Jones Show. This is your first time here on the War Room. So let's just briefly lay out the nanotechnology that you found in some common cosmetic products and dental products, and we'll get into some other issues, and then we'll take calls from the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is one of the biggest things that we are concerned about right now, is that we are going in for dental treatments, and the common things that we wouldn't think would contain the very same things that we found in the jabs and the vaccines. And now at this point, thanks to the work of La Quinta Columna, Dr. David Nixon, and Dr. Anna, we've found that the same technology exists underneath the microscope. So it's now in the pollutions of virtually every injectable that's coming out of Western medicine and the FDA and the CDC. And they're claiming that it's not. So we have to be very mindful at this point about which head of the snake we're taking anything from. Essentially taking candy from the bad guys. And what is this? People want to know always, what does that mean for our health? Cesium-137 is another radioactive element. It's extremely toxic that is also said to be contained in all of these injectables, in Botox, in fillers, in insulin shots, Ozempic. So it's really something we need to watch out for, symptoms from having these injections. Cesium and the graphene oxide is what makes the 5G weapon system work, such that they can trace and track and terminate us if we're not obeying by whatever propaganda that they're programming into people's minds. And that's also the work of Dr. what is his name, Dr. Richard something. He wrote a book about this, about the propagandized brain. So this is something that we need to be concerned about, because it's not just one thing causing harm, disease, symptoms, toxicity, chronic fatigue, chronic disease, all over America, sickest that we've ever been, yet we've spent the most amount of money on health care, but really it's health carelessness.
Well, and actually, so, you know, that's such an important point you just made. That's why I want to pause it. We are the sickest we've ever been. And so there's this common belief, and two things can be true, but there's this common belief that because maybe the lifespan, the average lifespan is longer now than it was maybe 50, 60 years ago. And that is because I think we do know more. Just basic hygiene and stuff is probably the reason for that. So people would look at that and they say, oh, that's not true. Well, two things can be true at once. We are still sicker than ever in that look at how much people are prescribed pills. Look at cancer rates. Look at all the mental health issues and all these other things. And we played a video of a doctor yesterday who was like, well, the system trains MDs to address the symptoms and not the causes. And so that's where all these pharmaceuticals come in, where somebody like yourself is saying, let's address the cause.
Right, absolutely. And I, to this point right now, Owen, I am down at our clinic in Tijuana, in Mexico. America has really regulated and limited how much we can use stem cell as therapy for advanced treatment. So I am right now getting a stem cell treatment. Why is that?
The IV is literally in her arm right now.
Yeah, it's stem cell.
And you and Joe Biden have an injectable right now.
What's that have to do with Joe Biden?
Because they got, I mean, I'm sure this guy's probably like tied up to like 30 different things just to keep him alive.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was to my point. Thank you for bringing back Owen. Why am I getting stem cell right now? Because it's not just injectables. I mean, at this point, the FDA is the biggest danger that we have because they're poisoning us. The reason why we're alive longer is because they're actually preserving us and keeping us alive longer with things like antibiotics. So it might kill off the bacteria that might kill us, but it's actually slowly killing us. So I'll give you an idea, and we can talk more about this after the break. Cipro is a fluoroquinolone. It's fluoride-based. It's one of the things that actually turns off and slows down our pineal and our ability to connect to our own intuition and to God and to think for ourselves and to use discernment, you know, to be a human versus being extremely dumbed down, such as what fluoride does. So I took Cipro 6 years ago, and the year after I ruptured my Achilles tendon, and I played pro soccer. So I've never had an injury like that. I'm like, what happened here? And when I looked into the research, found that Cipro, which is fluoroquinolones, fluoride-based, there's over 300 medications that have fluoride in them. And this is something that they used back in the Gulf War to, air quotes, treat anthrax, and it's chemo. It's got a black box warning on the drug box, but yet very few doctors talk about it. So I actually took some ibuprofen this past weekend because I had a really bad back injury, and I went and played soccer. Then the other Achilles tendon got really sore, and it felt like it was going to snap. Now, I'll tell you all this because I want you to know this. When you take Cipro, there are dangerous side effects and symptoms, and we can talk about this next if you want to dive into it, Owen, because at this point, some people might say, oh, I don't do any injectables. I haven't taken the shot. I don't really go see the dentist anymore. I'm fine. But if you go to your doctor because you feel really sick and you're desperate, they'll give you Cipro. That's the number one thing that they're going to prescribe because they're bonus the most on that. And people are getting very sick. There's suicide. There are people who are breaking their tendons, their ligaments, muscle wasting. The number one reason why we are chronically fatigued as a nation is because this very drug, fluoride, turns off your body's ability to make its own energy. And stem cell is the fastest solution, but there are other ones as well. So yet another thing to share today, Owen.
Well, of course, and they put the fluoride in the water that people consume. And then when you put it in the water, it ends up getting into the crops that get watered. You cook, you know, maybe you boil the water to cook pasta or something else. I mean, it when you put that in the water, it virtually penetrates everything.
Yeah. And at this point, 2/3 of America's water is contaminated with fluoride. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you guys go to ewg.org/tapwater and type in your zip code. If you're in America, you'll see all the different toxins that are in your water. And there's a high chance, especially if you're in California, that it's fluoridated, which displaces your thyroid iodine.
Yep, gland. That's right. We'll talk more about that on the other side. All right, let's finish up with this issue, and we'll start taking some calls from the audience. Ask the Doctor with Dr. Diane Kayser, a popular segment. We did this twice on the Alex Jones Show. People loved it, so we brought it here to the War Room. When I first found out about the fluoride conspiracy, the iodine conspiracy, however you want to look at it, it really impacted me in a way, because I was drinking tap water for most of my college years, definitely. I mean, I had filtered water when I lived at home and in high school, but when I got into college, I was drinking out of the tap. I was just drinking out of the government water. Maybe that's why I was so dumb in college. But when you learn about that, it truly is stunning. I mean, you can't even believe it, but it's simple as this. They poison the water. I mean, that's literally what they do to the water. And so you find that out and you're kind of confused and disoriented. How could this be? But it's kind of a two-pronged attack, I would say, on your cognition, on your pineal, and on your gut. Because here's what happens. Your intuition comes from your pineal and your gut. There's a reason why they say go with your gut. The gut health is so imperative to this as well, because in your gut health, it's almost like ancestral, right? It's like the things that you get passed down from your mother when you're breastfeeding, the things that have been passed down through the lineage, through the ages of your ancestry, it's in your gut. It's why they say go with your gut. And then you kind of have your own inborn intuition, which is your pineal gland. So the diet removes all that good gut bacteria that they tell you not even to breastfeed anymore. And then they put the fluoride in the water and it takes out of your own self intuition with the pineal gland. So, I mean, this is a big issue. How do people deal with this, Diane?
You mean fluoride toxicity or iodine deficiency, or yes?
Both.
Right. Okay. So fluoride is a major issue. And I want to unprogram the way that we're taught to believe in the psychopathic three-letter cyber organizations. And that is that it's just genetic. And that's why you're sick. That's not the reason why you're sick. The reason why you're sick is because you are toxic. So let's just get that one out of the way real quick. Sure, there are things genetically you get your genes, but this is called epigenetics, whereby you inherit over 300 different toxins from the time that you were born. And to Owen's point, before you even take your first breath, you are now the biome of your mother. You should be having a regular birth. There should be breastfeeding. The crazy psychopaths are calling it chest feeding for those that have changed their genders and doing it. I don't even want to get down that rabbit hole. Going back to your question on fluoride, Owen. So number one, we have to stop poisoning ourselves. Number one, we have to understand where fluoride is coming from. And so what I was referring to earlier, and you guys popped up that slide, is a picture of me when I had my Achilles tendon rupture. And what happened then after that is they installed permanent devices that were made of plastic, made of forever chemicals that were known as stitches. This is where a lot of people are having even more autoimmune reactions.
Are those like the dissolvables?
That there's two different types. Good question. There are the dissolvables and then there are the permanent ones. And these are the permanent ones that I reacted to and had to have a second surgery. And I am seeing this hands down in my practice. Number one, people are reacting to the things that they have installed in them after their surgery. And when I run a toxicity report, which is nothing that you're ever going to get from your Western medicine doctor, they're trained to look at more blood tests and more blood tests and more blood tests. That is absolute insanity. We have to look at urine panels to see how toxic that you are and then start there. And then we can find out where the toxins live. If plastic shows up, BPA, which I see in everybody at this point, it's a xenoestrogen, it's turning the frogs gay also. It's changing our gender impulses. These are all things that are causing cancer. And when we can see them on lab reports, then we can look to trace where they're coming from. And then I support you. And then you need to be supported with things that are like binders to bind to these toxins and clear them out of the body. And if there are things like plastic or polys that live in your body, they're forever chemicals. And they're the things that are disrupting your immune system, your thyroid glands, and all of your glands. And it's dropping your metabolism. You can't lose weight. You're depressed. You're suicidal.
Well, and think about it. You could even look back and say, we used to put everything in glassware, right? And we would consume products that came in glassware. Now everything comes in the plastic. And so there's something you can observe there. All right, we'll be right back. Dr. Diane Kayser is our guest. We're going to open up the phone lines for your questions with her. Hey, I'm just curious, when you injured your Achilles, were you running on natural grass or artificial turf?
I was on natural turf, as I was this past Saturday when it the other side almost ruptured. And I know that now because I connected it with, if you've ever taken Cipro, you should never take ibuprofen or antidepressants or many of these 300 different types of medications that now have fluoride in it, because it's known to create muscle wasting, muscle pain, joint popping, feeling like your body is really tight, blood pressure issues, suicidal ideation. There's a lot of these things that people are not connecting with. Why all of a sudden so much suicide? Why all of a sudden so many people need to have surgeries, need to get parts replaced? Why are they so sore? Why do we need more ibuprofen, which is actually sending us farther down this rabbit hole of tendonitis and all kinds of other body pains?
Yeah, you know, another issue too, because we've talked about in the past a lot of oral hygiene stuff and implants and other things. You know, oral hygiene is very important. And people don't realize that your oral hygiene can cause everything to go south. If you don't have proper oral hygiene, I mean, your gut health can go south. I mean, a lot of things can break down from that. And so that's another issue. I want to give out the phone number now. We'll start aggregating some callers for Ask the Doctor here. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. And you can ask questions for Dr. Diane Kayser. You may have some holdovers from the last time she was on with me. Maybe you want to ask her something about that she's talked with us here today on. But so that's wild that I wouldn't even think that they're putting. So why do they choose fluoride for all of this? Why is it always fluoride? You say that they put fluoride in all these different products. What is up with that?
Most of the time, a lot of these toxins are war poisons, and they are using it intentionally. So if you look back at Gulf War, especially, that's when this specific medication, Cipro, you guys need to know about this. And let this one sink in your head, because the next time you are desperate and you go to your doctor and you just want to get rid of the cold or flu or cough, you guys, those are mostly all things from toxicity and parasites. You get rid of parasites, you never have a cough, cold, flu, fever ever again. You don't have asthma, you don't have allergies. We got to get rid of the poisons, the parasites. You don't have disease anymore. And the reason why they're putting these things in the medications is because they do make us sick, and they do make us good customers, and they do make us live longer, because they're preserving us with these things that otherwise Cipro kills specific types of pathogens, bacteria. And it's mostly known to be used for urinary tract infections and kidney infections. And at this point, we have more urinary tract infections that I've even been seeing in my practice than ever. But you put someone on Cipro, and then it's going to require them to need another round of five other medications, because it's like a bomb going off in the body. It's like shots are fired. We think World War III is happening out there. It's happening in our body, and it has been since the Gulf War. When anthrax came out, that's what they were using to treat it. So they put and they dispose of like the mercury in our mouth and the fluoride in the medications. They're disposing of things that would have costed them millions, if not billions of dollars to dispose of. And they just say, let's make some money.
This is an important point. People can't believe this. A lot of the fluoride, the fluorosilicic acid, is literally industrial runoff.
Yeah. We're the runoff.
Yeah. And what was the, I think it was a congressman. Was it Rumsfeld? Someone owned like one of these corporations. And he was like, yeah, here's all my toxic runoff. They just started pouring it into the water.
Yep. And in your children's mouths, if you're listening to this and you're a parent, take that crap out of your kids' oral hygiene routines. It's not necessary. I work with lots of dentists. In fact, if you go to dianekayser.com/dental, I've got all kinds of resources on what to do instead, because I don't want to just come on here and say, oh, this is all bad. The sky's falling. Everything's toxic. We're screwed. I want to give you guys options and healthy alternatives, which there are so many. We're using activated charcoal. That's great. That's a way to bind the poisons in your mouth and clear them. But the things that you're seeing right now in the lab tests that I'm showing is that we test everybody for over 150 different types of toxins, including mold, environmental toxic waste, heavy metals. And what we're seeing in everybody is off the charts. And at some point, that's when most people start taking this lifestyle seriously, to stop assaulting our beautiful temples with toxins. Once you can see it on your own lab test and see how toxic your body is, yeah, then you start wanting to know, well, where is this coming from? And like you said, Owen, it's in pretty much all of our water at this point, and it's in over 300 medications. And the most common medications, I want to show that slide next, because it's Lipitor, it's cholesterol reducing medications, it's many medications that people are taking that they've been prescribed by their doctor because they have symptoms, and is doing nothing to treat the root cause, but it's actually not even numbing you from feeling these things. It's actually poisoning you. So it's really an assault to think that right now, people who I'm seeing who are getting floxed, it's called flox, fluoroquinolones. The neurological symptoms are also paranoia. And look at what we're seeing with like the extreme left, a lot of the paranoia. We're seeing a lot of zombie apocalyptic like people that are just shifting their personalities. And we're wondering what dimension are they in? And they're confused and they're delirious and they're nervous and they're restless and they're agitated. And so this is not just for the jabbed, you know, that's why I say we got to think much deeper than, oh, I didn't get the jab and I'm fine. I don't feel any different. So the things that anything that has steroids in it, NSAIDs, ibuprofen, Aleve, Motrin, Celebrex, and then the gels, NSAID gels, steroid creams, hydrocortisone, and also if you're using any Flonase for steroid inhalers or SSRI antidepressants, Paxil, Celexa, Prozac, those are all fluoride based. And then statins like Crestor and Lipitor, Prevacid, Protonix, Omeprazole, all PPIs. We don't need to turn stomach acid down. We actually need to find out why it's been turned up so much. And that usually is a stomach bug that we need to kill and really not kill that bug, but get rid of the toxins that are creating the bug. The reason that we have so many bugs is because our body is so toxic. And then the last one is Diflucan. And that's a yeast infection type prescription that has been given to a lot of women or anybody who has a yeast infection or UTIs. And that in and of itself is also fluoride based. So when you take Cipro and then you combine it with a lot of these other medications, and it could be tomorrow after you take Cipro or a week later or a month later or years later, as in my case, it was 6 years ago that I took Cipro and I took two pills of ibuprofen this past weekend. And it felt like my other Achilles tendon was about to rupture. And that's why I'm getting stem cells. Stem cells, not cheap, you guys. I don't want you to have to do that. But if you need to, then it is a solution. Get all of your medical records. I was talking to all my patients the other day. Get all of your medical records as far back as you can. And then you can start tracing back when you started feeling not so well to when you might have been ciprofloxed. Or if you have been, you know, if you got an injection of some kind, if you got a dental anesthetic, if you got a dental treatment, if you got a surgery where they implanted the permanent stitches like I had, or maybe other things like a mesh material, which is polyurethane. These polys are forever chemicals and they just don't break down. So we've all got to be taking binders. I talk about that on dianekaiser.com/binders, multiple different types of binders. We all need to be on one binder every single day because 86,000 toxins is how much we're surrounded by and our body's breathing it in. We're applying it to our skin. We're trusting our doctors still. I don't know why, but taking all these medications that are making us sick, it's in our cosmetics. We talk a lot about that. So I'm happy to help anybody who has questions about their specific cases.
Yeah, so we're about to take some calls. I was looking at the ingredients in Vitamin Mineral Fusion. I'm wondering if there are any binders in here. You'd probably have to look at that.
I can do that.
Yourself. But yeah, you know, and I would say too, diet is probably half the battle when it comes to health, if not 90%. I mean, it depends on what you're going for, but diet is so important. And it's funny, somebody brought something up about ingredients to me the other day, and they said, oh, well, you know, look at the ingredients. And it kind of hit me. I was like, you know what? I'm to the point now where most of what I eat doesn't even have ingredients. I'm just eating like a whole chicken, a steak, eggs, raw milk. It's just natural food. And it's really incredible the difference. I mean, it really is. I mean, I'm to the point now where I'd rather like starve than go eat fast food. You know, if I'm in a pinch like today where I'm out in the field and then I got to come in studio. So it's like I'm on air. I go out in the field. I come in studio. I don't really have time unless I want to get fast food. I'm just like, all right, well, I'm just going to not eat today because I don't want to eat those things. Your body kind of responds to it naturally that way to not want that stuff. And hey, I get it. You know, the chicken sandwich with the 500 different ingredients tastes great. It's like chicken crack for your taste buds, but it's, you know, it's probably not the best thing for you. All right. We're going to take some calls now. Let's start. Well, you got a caller in Brazil. So let's start international today with Jeff in Brazil. Jeff, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good evening. And thank you. Distilled water. I drink it. What do you think about distilled water?
I am all about it, Jeff. That's my go-to recommendation. In fact, I've done a lot of podcasts that you can find on my podcast on distilled water and why distilled water. Distilled water is the closest thing to what used to be when we used to drink from condensed water that ended up in our spring water. Unfortunately, at this point, even though spring water is more mineral rich, it's also loaded with the very things that they're using for geoengineering and cloud seeding. Hello, other countries getting completely pummeled right now, like Dubai. And we have to, our perspective on my team of doctors is that let's get all the toxins out as much as we can and then add minerals back. Like Owen said, we should be getting our minerals. He didn't say this, but we should be getting our minerals from food. And then like that supplement that you were just talking about, Owen, has minerals in it. Minerals will displace metals. But here's the reason I like distilled so much. And I'm going to stop and really emphasize this. Everybody listening. And Jeff, I'm so glad you brought this up because every family needs to have a distilled unit at their home. And why is that? Just like I mentioned earlier, EWG, and not you in Brazil, but EWG.org/tap water. That is what you're drinking. Everything in there is what you're drinking. And some will say, well, I have reverse osmosis and what about ionization or I have a fridge filter or what about Brita or what about Pure? We could talk about brand names all day long, but the bottom line is you want distilled because at number one, it gets rid of all of the radioactive elements that I was talking about, like cesium. That is what makes the 5G weapon system work so well to serve as an antenna to draw in EMFs into our body. Radiation poisoning looks just like COVID symptoms, right? So was it really COVID from a virus that we've never isolated, or was it really just radiation poisoning? The jury's still out, but I say it's multiple things. The other thing that the distilled water gets rid of is a lot of these toxins that you see in the form of pharmaceuticals. So you probably can't see this, Jeff, in your area, but Owen, if you pulled up your zip code, you might see something like testosterone or benzodiazepines or birth control. These medications, they are so small that the local municipalities do not detox them out. And so that is what distilled water does. Some people argue with me and they'll say, well, that's stupid because there's no minerals. If you're eating real food, like Owen said, with no ingredients in the label, then you're getting your minerals from food, and I highly recommend taking a mineral supplement as well as a toxin binder. So like fulvic and humic acid, I just talked about where you can get that because humic acid binds to and clears out graphene oxide, which is the other thing that makes this 5G weapon system work so well for this transhumanistic agenda. But I am all about distilled water. You can use it for many different reasons. For your CPAP, I feed it to my dog. You can use it for your children, and then add minerals back. So does that answer your question, or was there anything other specific question that you had around it?
Yeah, thank you. I want to ask one more thing. Papaya seeds.
Yes.
We'll clean out the intestinal worms because we don't have black walnut down here.
Yes, I love that. I have a recipe. I have a whole course that's called the Full Moon Parasite Cleanse. In fact, Owen, I don't know if I talked about this with you last time, but you might get a kick out of this one. Parasites are the most active during a full moon.
Yes.
And we just had a full moon yesterday. Pink moon. Yeah. Didn't look so pink to me, but the reason why they call people lunatics is because we have the highest activity of crazy people on the lunar tick, which is lunar means moon. So the best time to take papaya seeds, and I recommend having it in a shake and a smoothie in my Parasite Full Moon Challenge course. I think we queued up dianecage.com/transform. That course is like $100 and you can learn all about recipes and how to kill parasites and the best way to get them ready to leave the body. Papaya seeds in and of themselves are awesome at number one, killing parasites, Jeff. But number two, ironically, it's really good for a cancer treatment protocol in food form. Isn't that interesting?
So just raw papaya seeds? What, like chase them down with a drink or what?
Yeah, it tastes a little bit strong. It's a little bit bitter. What I recommend is that you put it into a smoothie, and my smoothie, the anti-parasite smoothie, you could do this even during the full moon, the day before, the day of, the day after. You just cut up a papaya and then you use all the seeds of the papaya. You might want to start with half of the seeds because they're very strong. Put that in your blender, and then with about half of the papaya, add some pineapple to it, add some coconut yogurt to it, and stir that up, blend that up, as well as coconut oil. Coconut oil is also anti-parasitic. And when you drink that smoothie, it actually tastes quite good. And those ingredients are all very known to kill parasites. And papaya has papain in it. And that's an enzyme that destroys a lot of the bodies. When you kill parasites, the important thing is also to clear their body parts because you kill them. But a lot of people
flush them out.
Exactly. Because you look at 75% of America, I don't know about Brazil, but a lot of people are following us, overweight or obese, right? And the reason why we are is because we're literally full of ish. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to swear, but we're full of crap. And so you could do a parasite cleanse, but if you are not eliminating them well, the body parts are just moving all around the body and you don't want that. So papaya seed, those things can really help.
And you know, that's kind of a good way too. If you have some sort of an odor you're dealing with, if it's body odor or even like bad breath or stuff, that's from parasites. That's literally parasite dumpings. And you probably need to do some sort of a cleanse to deal with that. Jeff, I'm just curious, what part of Brazil are you calling in from?
I'm from Alto Paraíso, just north of Brasilia. I'm a ex-military. I came down here because I'm an artist. I build waterfalls, swimming pools. Mm. There's about 110 waterfalls within an 80-mile radius of me.
Yeah, that's by the, is it the Blanco River or the River Negro where it literally changes colors?
Oh, that's up in the Amazon, I think. I'm not near the Amazon.
Oh, yeah, it's in the middle of the Amazon, but I'm just curious if there's any waterfalls.
I'm in the interior, in the mountains.
All right. Brazil's
water over there, Jeff.
Huh? Excuse me?
Brazil's a beautiful place, man. I hope you enjoy your time down there building waterfalls. Sounds great. All right. Let's go to another caller here. Let's see. How about Lauren in Minnesota? Lauren, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Owen. This is Lori.
Hi.
Hi. First time caller, and I'm very happy to be talking to you. Hi, Diane, Dr. Diane. We just have two questions for you. First, Alzheimer's. Is it possible to put it off, prolong it, or maybe to prevent completely? And the second one is high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The high blood pressure, that's easy. So I know it may not sound easy. Are you asking for yourself or someone else? Is somebody on a medication, or where are you at with the process?
My doctor put me on Lisinopril, mm-hmm. and I stopped taking it for about 2 years ago. And I was on it for about 2 years, and I stopped doing it. And I wanted something more healthy.
How do you feel not taking it?
Heart's a little pounding. Got extra stress in my life, too, right now, so that's not helping. But, yeah, the heart is a little racing. But I'm fine. A little shaky sometimes, but I'm alive.
Yeah. And some people say, well, I'm alive, so it must not be poisoning me, right? The number one thing, first of all, for Lori, I'll address the high blood pressure. So we go into our doctor. They tell us based on a lab or maybe our symptoms that you have high blood pressure. And therefore, the answer is a drug. I want, moving forward, every one of you hearing me, including you, Lori, including me, to look at every single ingredient that is on that medication before you just pop that pill. You're going to really have a better understanding of what they're putting in your body that could cause another issue like Alzheimer's. Because if we don't really address the root causes of why you have high blood pressure or high cholesterol or low vitamin D or low eosinophils, whatever the thing is that they're looking at on blood tests, which is so archaic, so old school, 20 years ago, we need to get past this just blood testing, right? So if we were to go deeper with why do you have high blood pressure, and that is your body that is trying to detox. And it's your body that can't make enough energy to do the things that your body is demanding, like kill parasites, clear them from the body, and then also to clear poisons from your organs. So the number one thing that is causing mitochondria deficiency, aka cell death, your body can't make energy for you and we end up chronically fatigued, is being poisoned by medications, number one, and food, and anywhere there's poisons, but specifically Cipro, like I talked about earlier. And if we're not giving our body what it needs to actually make energy and the exposure to EMFs, so AirPods, sorry guys, stop using those. They're the number one mitochondria killer. Wi-Fi devices at night, stop wearing wearables, all of these.
I hate the wires, Diane. I hate the wires.
Tell me more.
That's why I wear AirPods, because I hate wires.
Oh, I know. Okay. Let me find my other ones. There's some ones that I use that I hate wires too, but we are becoming more wired, which is this transhumanistic agenda. So So there are some that I like. I can send it to you. There's a couple Bose headphones, and I got these like 8 years ago. They're the lesser of evils, and that's what I recommend to all my patients because I agree with you and I get it. But those AirPods, don't take my word for it. Just go online.
No, I know it. I know you're right about that. I have some guys at the gym that give me trouble because they still wear the wires and they're like, oh, and you know you're frying your brain. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know.
Owen, we need you. Stop it.
So, anyway, I want to know the lesser of the evils, though.
Okay, I'll find them. They're sitting somewhere here in my purse. So the other thing is on the high blood pressure, it's really that your body is trying really hard. It doesn't have enough energy to clear the poisons that are in your body. So we've got to support that. You've got to have something to support mitochondria health.
Here, and, you can dig through in the break. Don't worry. We're about to take a break. So finish.
Okay. Alzheimer.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and the other thing with high blood pressure is that we need to get you some GABA. We need to look at neurotransmitter health. I help people in our VIP group, dianekaser.com/VIP. I can riff with you for 15 minutes on this. It's only $1 to join. And you could ask that question there. We got lots of people who bring their blood tests and we address this stuff. It could be deficiencies in minerals, but I really want to get into neurotransmitters, especially. That's your brain food, right? And GABA is a big one that most people are very deficient in.
And isn't like fish oil, krill oil good for that?
Yeah, exactly. So you guys have great products at InfoWars, which I've taken myself, and I think they're awesome. I'm not sure if you guys have binders, which is why I recommend binders as well that are like fulvic and humic. Alzheimer's is tricky. That one, my grandma died of that. It does have to do with the APOE genetic SNP. If you have that, then there are things that we would need to work around. I run genetic reports on patients. Alzheimer's gets up in the brain. We have a lot of toxicity up in the brain. The fluoride that we talked about, basically that is the slow path from brain fog to Alzheimer's. It is reversible, but depends on what area of the spectrum that you're on. But a massive detox is important. And starting with a urine panel to see what toxins are in that person's body is a good start. We've been able to overcome a lot of people's stage, depending on where they're at with Alzheimer's.
All right. Ask the doctor with Dr. Diane Kaser. Look, earbuds and the deodorants are just two evils I've accepted. So we'll see what happens on the other side.
All right. I'm going tyrant host now. I want some questions answered. We'll go back to the phone calls. You know, here's the problem. Diane's answers are so, I mean, she covers all the bases. They're full spectrum. So it's hard to just pepper in a bunch of phone calls. We got a bunch of people on the line. All right. So first, tell us the lesser of the evils when it comes to the wireless headphones, because I can't do it. I just can't, Diane. I can't go back to the wires. It's just it's an evil I've accepted. Whatever. I know. I'm whatever. It's fine. It's kind of like the heavy metal deodorants. It's just it's what I use. Whatever. I've accepted it as a necessary evil. So first, address the headphone thing, and then I got one quick question.
Yeah, you can tell me to answer all of these in 1 minute or less. I could do my best. But basically, there's no plug I have here or anything. These are my Bose headphones. These are the older ones from, like I said, about 8 years ago.
I see a wire.
There's a wire, but it's not connected to anything. So these are the Bose Sport. So this is the lesser of evils because everything else I've tried and have seen patients stop using, they've gotten a lot better as far as.
So that's the one. Okay. I think I know. That's the one with the receiver that's not actually in the ear. The receiver is in, it's on like the split in the wire, right? Okay. So that's probably why it's better than your brain. I'll have to look into that. I will say there was this other one I found. The problem is they're basically wireless with a hard drive built in. And so it's basically like a wearable MP3 player. And so you can just play music in your ear, but it's basically like a wearable MP3 player that doesn't take Bluetooth or nothing. I mean, it can connect to Bluetooth. I do wear that for swimming. But I can't go back to the wires. I guess maybe I could wear that one wire. I'll consider that. I'll look into that. All right. I'll consider looking into that. Probably better than blasting my brain with the two receivers in each ear. All right.
I work with a lot of CEOs and they're high performance dudes and women. And they say they stopped using their AirPods and like, wow, I already feel a difference. And the Apple watches, I mean, do your own research, but.
I am not wearing an Apple watch. I'm not a fan of that, but I'll tell you what, I'll look for a different, wireless or with the receiver, not in both ears. And I'll let you know, I was so late to that party anyway, cause I'm always kind of a holdout with new technology like that. But once I ditched the wire, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so freeing. I can do anything now. Okay, here's my one question. I go to prison and they have to run a bunch of blood tests because a lot of these guys live there for years. And so this is basically your society. So you have doctors that want to make sure you don't die or whatever. And everything turned out well, except I have real high cholesterol. I want to say it was like 180 maybe. I forget. It was really high. And they're like, oh, well, this is dangerously high. This is dangerous. You need to do something. And they suggested a pill, whatever the main pharmaceutical pill is, they'll give it to you for free. And of course, I said no. Is high cholesterol really a problem? Is it a myth? Is it something people should be concerned over? Should I stop eating steak and eggs every day?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, eggs are bad. You should just really eat Impossible Burgers, Owen. I think you should just ditch, especially the eggs that are on your own farm. Definitely don't do that. So cholesterol is a thing. They've actually done a lot of studies in this and found that there are people who have, air quotes, high cholesterol. But people like Eskimos and whatever we're allowed to say without being racist or whatever these days, some natives that actually in the winter would eat more fat and blubber, and then they would have cholesterol as high as 500, and they're perfectly healthy. But that's based
500?
Based on the
I'm kind of jealous. Okay. That's a nice number.
Right? And let's talk about, let's break this really deeply down. You guys, do you know what cholesterol makes?
Proteins, right?
Hormones.
Oh, hormones.
Yeah. You want to lower some cholesterol with some fluoridated medications, which then reduces your cholesterol. And then you have low hormone, and then you get prescribed testosterone or anything else. And then you have higher incidences of heart disease, blah, blah, blah. You get the idea, right? So cholesterol is important to make hormones. It is the building block of hormones. Proteins and fats is what our cells are made of and our hormones are made of. So cholesterol, if it's high, and if you actually, I would look at other things too, Owen. But whenever I see air quotes high cholesterol, I also think that you should do a liver and gallbladder flush because it can lead to calcification, gallstones, kidney stones. And those are very common where people then end up on other kinds of medications. So in our VIP group, I have a free liver and gallbladder flush in there, which teaches you exactly what to do in order to flush those stones out. I mean, talk about easy weight loss and your hair growing back, and maybe you won't smell as bad, Owen, or sweat as much.
Whoa.
And I'm being serious.
Whoa.
I'm being serious.
I do not have any odor issues. Let's be perfectly clear here.
Perfectly unstenchly clear.
I reject that notion. I reject
that. I'm so glad you're insulted. I'm so glad that I've offended you, Owen.
I was just out on the scene in the hot Texas sun, and my back was sweating, and maybe some other parts were sweating. No odor, I will have you know. And the heavy metal armpit deodorant that I have kept my pits dry and odor-free as well, okay?
When? No, we're doing the case study with you. I can't do this. I can't let you do
every time I do this, every time I do this, 10 people send me their heavy metal-free deodorant, and it never works. Here's the thing. Like, I don't even have a problem with odor or even perspiration necessarily. If I go deodorant free, it would be like better off. I mean, maybe at the end of the day, I might have some problems, but when I wear the toxic free deodorant, I'm not even kidding you. I break out every single brand. I sweat more when I wear it. I don't know, but let's not get hung up. We got callers on the line. We can have fun with this all day. We got callers on the line. Let's take another caller. Let's go to Jonathan in South Carolina. Jonathan, go ahead.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey guys, how are you doing today?
Good.
Wonderful.
Fantastic. So I have recently come across a castor oil and turpentine and sugar cube parasite cleanse. And what I read about it recommended that I use maybe bentonite clay as a binder once, you know, to kind of pick up some of the toxins once I've done that. So I was wondering if you could maybe speak to that cleanse in and of itself and maybe if, and also just like kind of how to regularly use calcium bentonite clay.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to cover what you said first, and this is really, really, really important.
Try to do it in 2.5 minutes.
Okay. Thank you. Taking turpentine is very aggressive to the body. So too can be any medication. We can kill parasites with herbs. So I wouldn't recommend that as being the number one parasite cleanse. You know, we're doing one right now, and ours are very gentle, but also effective. So the turpentines, the chlorine dioxides, yes, they can be effective at killing parasites, But there is nothing in what you just talked about that speaks to binding to the toxins that the parasites release when they die. So castor is really great to get your bile flow moving. But bentonite clay is a binder, but it's a very, very, very weak binder. And it only stays isolated to the gut mostly. So I like to go deeper with fulvic and humic. And then also the cleanse that I lead has over 14 different herbs in it. And they go after a lot of different bugs, their life cycles. And then we also have binders like the fulvic and the humic, which are like 10 times stronger, if not more, than bentonite clay. What you're saying here is it might be effective for you. And effective is like really a slippery slope. But I think it's better than taking medication, that's for sure, because they're not as poisonous, but it is very, very toxic to the body to drink turpentine. So I've heard people do it. They got really sick. They came to me. They had Herxheimer reactions. They couldn't kill the parasites because it doesn't blanket all of that. But what I would say is definitely make sure that you're ready for that with healthy mitochondria levels. Make sure you're eating really healthy. That parasite smoothie I just talked about would be great. But I think we need to first do no harm to the body when we're going after these bugs, which turpentine is very, very harmful for the body. So it can actually cause a lot of the gut lining to be assaulted, which is the birthplace of autoimmune disease and all kinds of mental dysfunction.
Well, you did that in less than 2 minutes and 30 seconds. You're getting even better at this. Jonathan, thank you for the call. We're about to go to break. We've got our final segment coming up. We'll take a couple of more calls. I'm going to keep Dr. Kayser on here because we got a lot of other people that want to get on the show and ask her a question. This is all made possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. And I'll have you know that the two videos, you saw my live coverage here on the War Room in the first hour from UT. We've just uploaded two videos to band.video. I did a stand-up report and then we were trying to leave and basically a mob of people came around me. So I just kind of started lecturing there. Both of those videos are up at band.video. Check them out when this show concludes.
Final segment here of the InfoWars War Room brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. We're busy today. Did an hour on the Jones Show, went to UT's campus, covered the protests live, saw the live coverage here on the War Room with Chase Geyser. Now we're doing Ask the Doctor. We got two videos that just went up on band.video of my coverage there as well. Later tonight, I'll be on the Best Damn Podcast with the Best Damn Roofer. He just started a new podcast, and I'm one of his first guests. So we're busy today. Glad. Hope you can check it all out. All right, final segment here. Dr. Diane Kayser. Let's go to Raymond on the phone in Maryland. Raymond, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Good. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, so I have a question for Diane, because I came in a little bit late. I was working. Your injury where you hurt your tendon, was that from the cysto or was that from all the fluoride that it was accumulated?
Good question. At this point, it's always hard to say. We can never point 100% at anything. But if you look at the literature, fluoroquinolones, specifically Cipro, I took because I had a parasite infection when I came back from a tour in Peru that I had in 2018. And the next year I had a surgery, and in that surgery, I removed my breast implants. It's a whole other topic. Women should get those things out of their body because it causes autoimmune disease in virtually every woman, especially to her collagen. And so she looks older with breast implants because our body starts attacking our own collagen, which is exactly what Cipro does. It's a bomb going off in your body where this medication causes you to attack your own tendons, causes tendonitis, causes muscle wasting. So all you bodybuilders out there, you're taking this stuff, it's actually causing atrophy. So for me, after that surgery, what I'm thinking is that I had taken some ibuprofen in that surgery the year after the Cipro, and then 2 months later, I ruptured my Achilles tendon. And then now fast forward, which is about 6 years ago, I took ibuprofen, two pills on Saturday, went and played soccer, and the other Achilles was threatening to snap and I had to set myself off of the field. So if you've ever taken Cipro, then you should not take the medications that are fluoride based, and there's over 300 of them. I can go more into this in my VIP group if you're in there with you, to look at your medical records and see if it's something that you might be experiencing. Are you asking because you had a similar injury?
No, I was just curious because, I mean, I do occasionally drink tap water, sometimes I'll have a soda,
at the source of fluoride, and I was just wondering if little injuries like that can happen from the buildup of fluoride in the body, or if it, or if you think it was more a reaction of the medication. But it sounds like the medication is based on fluoride, right?
Yeah, the medication comes with a black box warning. I mean, fluoride is not a good toxin. It's a known neurotoxin. It's a very powerful halogen that displaces iodine. And when you displace iodine, then you have thyroid issues and you have metabolic issues and you have high blood pressure and you can't lose weight. So we're going back to toxicity, which means mineral deficiency, which means your endocrine glands can't work and you don't have energy. So I would guess that it's not as much of a buildup of fluoride as it is the big hit that the Cipro causes to the body, and then ensuing trace amounts of fluoride in the 300 plus medications, as well as our fluoride exposure. And what I'd say to you is that anybody who's distilling their water, which we talked about earlier, I like distillation systems. If you go to my website, you can see the ones that I like. I don't like the ones with plastic that are from China that don't have testing. You want to get all that stuff approved. But if you have fluoride in the water of the sodas and the juices that you're buying at the store, then you're not drinking distilled water anymore. You're drinking from other companies that are not distilling their water and treating them with proper filtration.
Yeah, and I used to distill my water. I actually kind of use the zero water right now, and I do add a pinch of some sea salt or some magnesium. I use the magnesium salt just to bring the remineralize the water a little bit.
Yeah, magnesium deficiency is big. Iodine deficiency is big. That's why we have the nascent iodine. At InfoWarsStore.com, we're just addressing these issues head on. I mean, it's just a no-brainer. Yeah. When you realize the iodine deficiency, it's like, oh, I want nascent iodine. Well, so should everybody else. So that's the logic there. Raymond, thanks for the call. Let's go to Brandon in Virginia. Brandon, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I went through a traumatic experience when I was 14 years old. And they put me on Prozac and Effexor, which I took for 15 years, and I had a host of problems with that. So I tried to get off of it. I became psychotic. Now I'm on antipsychotic and benzodiazepine. And I'm agoraphobic. My anxiety's through the roof. I just don't know what to do.
I'm so with you, my friend, and I am so sorry that this was your solution. Okay. Because it's not a solution. It's a pollution. So thank you for being brave to share. I've gotten several patients off of benzodiazepines. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not a pretty picture. If you've ever seen Dr. Jordan Peterson, he was suicidal after he tried to get off of his, and he's, a therapist. So benzodiazepines are tricky. You can get off of them, but we have to address the root cause reasons why there was some kind of trauma to begin with. We have to heal the root cause of the trauma, whether that's a broken belief system, and or also oftentimes we don't know, again, chicken or the egg. Did you have mental imbalances or inflammation due to poisons in the body or deficiencies in neurotransmitters or deficiencies in minerals? To Owen's point about iodine, if we're deficient in iodine and minerals, then we can't make hormones well. And if we have low hormones, we can't make cortisol or melatonin, which is our wake and sleep cycle firefighters, and we can't put out the inflammation. So then people say, do corticosteroids, which are loaded with fluoride. So what I do with you, and I would do with you if you were in my VIP group, is I'd first say, let's get you on some binders. Every human being needs to be on binders today, period. It's like not filtering your water and walking around and breathing the toxic air and eating the toxic food and drinking toxic water. So control the controllables, be on a binder. I put all that stuff on my DianeCaser.com/transform, and you could learn all about what binders are and what types that there are, what's worth investing your money into. And then just know that all of these toxins displace minerals. So it's good to take minerals because they can displace the metals. But these are the reasons why you're feeling what you're feeling, is that we need to get proper neurotransmitter balance to your brain. We can do it, but I typically take about 3 to 6 months to get our patients off of benzos, but we've been doing it successfully for 10 years now, over 10 years. So you just need to work with a solid doctor who knows how to detox you and support your body's ability to make its own energy, convert food to fuel, eat healthy food, like Owen said earlier, drink healthy water. All of this is possible when you have all the byproducts that you need.
And Brandon, I would just say this too. You at the end of the day have control over your own mind, and they want to not even let you take that realization into hand and make you think that somehow what you're going through is unique. What you're going through is not so unique. The things that the pills might be doing to you are unique, but you have control over your mind. And so just remember that at the end of the day, and dealing with emotional distress and mental distress is common. You're not alone in that, and you can get through it. I would just say, Brandon, thank you for the call. All right, let's take one more. Matt Baker in California. Matt's been dying to get this issue out there. Last time we had him on, he broke up. So, Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Thanks for having me. Yeah, finally, I'll make it through. Hopefully, I'm coming in loud and clear this time. So my wife had to get a blood transfusion, and basically she ended up needing multiple blood transfusions. It was an emergency, and she ended up getting pericarditis, which the doctors themselves even admitted could possibly be due to vaccinated blood. Now, I actually have the blood from the pericardial drain. I saved it in my refrigerator, and I'm trying to find someone who might do a test on that blood to find some of these things that you're finding in the injectables. I live in San Diego, California. I'm very close to you in Tijuana. I would like to meet up with you. I'm kind of a warrior in this field. I'm kind of a known quantity. I would like to somehow get together with you at some point and look for.
Yep. Go to my website, DianeKaiser.com, and you'll see a little contact us button up there. I'm down in Tijuana right now, so I can put you in contact with the lab that we use down here, which we're looking under the microscope at the injectables that we're using down at the clinic. And so that might be a possibility. So I'm happy to do that research for you, because this is a big reason why I had another suicidal patient we were working with who got blood transfusions, and she was never the same after it. And she only just got spiked on, if that's actually a thing. So for sure, we can test that. But I would also say to you and Owen and everybody, we've got to get binders on board for her, because if there are any of the nanoparticulates in there, the graphene oxide, we've got to bind them and get them out of the body as fast as possible. That would be the fulvic, the humic, and the citric acid that we've seen at a microscope is really good at binding to graphene in a lot of these hydrogels. So my heart's out to you and your lovely woman, because you tried to save her life. And at this point, this is what we're all trying to do, right? But unfortunately, they're taking it in many ways.
Dr. Diane Kaiser, thank you again for your time. I'm sure you'll be back once again by popular demand. Big ups to the crew. Big ups to the audience. Fresh videos at band.video. And we'll see you tomorrow. Stay classy, InfoWarriors.